I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Yes! Yes! The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome on in. It's Unrivaled on a Friday afternoon. Glad to be with you, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. The team's back together again.
What? Oh, my goodness.
Look at us.
We're in the same
room.
Building together.
Same room, same building.
Yes.
Scott is in a bubble still, though. He's behind a hermetically sealed.
Well, the bubble theme is kind of, you know, it can be symbolic. Yeah. It can be, you know, metaphorical.
No, Scott's got the metaphorical. Metaphorical. Scott's like, I've never used that word. I'm going to try it on the air today.
I have to use that word. Once or twice.
We've got a couple things going on. First of all, we're out on the road. We're at the warehouse here, 1825 South, 300 West in Salt Lake City. And we've got RV and boat show tickets. We also have all sorts of fun stuff going on today at the warehouse.
You know, the boat and RV show is like my favorite thing. I love.
There are different times. I found out that there are different times. It's just disappointing. Because you want to
I like both.
I know, because Scott wants to actually buy an RV to tow his boat, to tow a new boat.
Exactly.
That's kind of your perfect scenario. Yes. So,
hello.
Who doesn't want that?
Are you kidding me?
This is a full pad of tickets on both of them, too. So if you want to come down, I'll tarry off a few of these for you and your family. So come down to the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West in Salt Lake City. Price is so low, they're the boom prices. I don't know if you'll go boom. Do you explode when you pay low prices like this?
Do I?
I'm just saying in general. If somebody comes in, I don't want it to be a danger to anybody else. So we've got a lot going on in the program. We're going to start things off, though, right at the top of the show. The only person that I know that I've ever personally known to start an NFL football game at quarterback, an NFL playoff game at quarterback, is sitting right next to me. Scott Mitchell is going to give us a little bit of an idea of what the playoffs are like. Starting things off this weekend, of course, it's wild card weekend in the NFL, and we're going to get to what that changes for a lot of these teams. We've got a lot to talk about, so let's just jump right in. It's the cut at the top of the show. Let's do it.
There we go. The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut brought to you by Sound Sleep Medical. Do you need a CPAP machine to get you through the night? Are you snoring and it's causing all sorts of problems? You can give the folks at Sound Sleep Medical a call. So here's what you got to do. Just go visit those guys, Sound Sleep Medical. Here's where we're going to kick things off here. First of all, the NFL playoffs. The NFL playoffs are starting up this weekend, Scott, and you and I are very excited about this. This is the best weekend. Wild card weekend in the NFL is the best weekend of the NFL, in my opinion. Because the Super Bowl is one thing, but it's another to be playing in these amazing games walking up to the Super Bowl. And this weekend, there's not a shortage of this. And I wanted to ask you, of all these games that go on, or, and as teams get ready for this, you've described an amping up of the intensity that these games end up being a lot different than the regular season games. What changes from the regular season to this? Because every week is a battle in the NFL, but what really changes? Because you've talked about how, oh, it's real. The palpable difference of ability and playing energy changes a lot when the playoffs come around.
Well, it changes because of the finality of things. Like, if you lose, it's over. But it also changes because everyone knows that really your legacy, your mark in professional football predominantly is based upon how much success you have
right.
in the postseason. Like a guy like Dan Marino, like, you know, because he went to the Super Bowl like his second year and went there in dramatic fashion and then never went back again. This was 1984. And the Dolphins haven't been back to the Super Bowl since then. So there's this finality about it. There's also this legacy part where you're like, okay, you know, I'm going to be judged to some point because of that. Because Marino, they're like, yeah, he was unbelievably good, but he didn't win a Super Bowl.
Right.
And every question he's asked, doesn't it bother you? Don't you know? Do you feel like your career is diminished because you didn't win a Super Bowl kind of thing? And so it's a big deal. It is a big deal, and people are aware of it. Now, what the challenge is for people, and this is the real challenge, I think, is that pressure of, like, performing in that situation. How do you handle it? And I know there are guys that are just like, man, you just pin your ears back and you just go. And some guys don't perform in that situation very well. And then there are other guys that say, you know, you have to go about this the same way that you always have. There's kind of that initial surge when the game starts, but then it gets into kind of
How do you deal with that energy after kind of subsides a little bit?
Like they talked, like, with professional golfers, you know, this kind of this sense of, like, that first tee and you're all amped up and everything. And they actually train professional golfers to swing at about 50%.
In that first hole?
Because they know
they don't want to get too wild.
Well, they know they're going to – they know that 50%, because they're so amped up, is 100%.
Right.
So there's this whole thing of you know, kind of managing that. And take a guy like Peyton Manning, right? So, you know, everyone's Peyton Manning, blah, blah, blah. It took Peyton Manning a long time before he figured out actually how to win in the playoffs. And it's a real thing, and it's a really different thing. And in my experience, it's like I've tried both ways. and I can tell you it's really kind of you want to be closer to kind of your own personality.
Sure.
You don't want to change who you are. You don't want to change your routines. You want to, as the saying goes, well, you dance with the girl that brung you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you want to stay fairly close to that. You know, you don't want to necessarily change all that, but you still have to recognize that, like, well, if we lose this game, they're still next week. You know, there's no such thing as
there's no version of that, obviously, with the NFL, as the playoffs kind of kick off. I look at these matchups, and let me just throw out tomorrow's games. The Raiders and the Bengals kick things off tomorrow. That's your first game of the playoffs, and then it just gets better. I mean, New England at Buffalo. I mean, they're already division rivals, and they're already going to – and they're playing each other in Buffalo. It's supposed to be one of the coldest weather games in the NFL's playoffs in the last, like, two decades or whatever. They're expecting it's supposed to be between 0 and 3 degrees at kickoff,
so
with a wind chill of negative
Buffalo,
everything. Yes.
Buffalo is a city – when you talk about finality and about an urgency to win and about a game meaning something to people.
This is that place.
Like I don't know that there is a place. I don't even think Green Bay, Wisconsin is like this because they've won so much, right?
So, but Buffalo has, like, an urgency to it.
Buffalo,
there's like the level of depression when they lose in the playoffs is because when they would lose those Super Bowls, when they lost four Super Bowls in a row, when I was a kid growing up, it was the they were the butt of every joke.
Yes.
That was the way they were thought of as, oh, Buffalo, look at these guys. But winning an AFC championship, going to a Super Bowl 4 years in a row is an insane proposition.
But it's still Buffalo, and they still lost the Super Bowl. And so there's this complex there.
Yes.
So you get some of these bigger, these other bigger city markets, you know, like the Rams in Los Angeles.
Sure, sure, sure.
The loss is not going to mean the same there. A loss in maybe Dallas now because they haven't won for so long. You know, Dallas is a big market. So the fans and the impact and the meaning of the game even gets amplified kind of where you're going to be. Like New England, I think Bill Belichick could lose the rest of his career every single year and it wouldn't have any tarnish on his legacy.
But it's
whatsoever.
A pretty wild thing because now, of course, it won't tarnish his legacy. Obviously, you know what he's done. He's been to the most Super Bowls of any person who's ever been associated with the game,
yeah.
You know, tied with Tom Brady. And so I don't know. Obviously, the legacy's different. But for him, as a competitive guy, he's like, without Tom Brady, doing this without Tom Brady,
right.
This would be as impressive as maybe that first or second Super Bowl, that first Super Bowl when everybody goes, Tom Brady was Drew Bledsoe's backup still, you know, at that point when he got to the Super Bowl and won it.
The fact that he's gotten to the playoffs – with Mac Jones in his first year, it really says something about Bill Belichick beyond Tom Brady, right? Mac Jones may or may not be the guy, but again, this is kind of that time. This is that era when you go, okay, yeah, Mac Jones's legacy begins today, and what does that legacy look like? Because he's got a bigger challenge. Than just like a guy like, you know, someone like, you know, Josh Allen. Because Mac Jones is going to live in the shadow of Tom Brady forever. Like, he's just going to be there. He's just going to be there forever until he can eclipse, which I don't know that could possibly happen, what Tom Brady has. So here you have the playoffs, and you know, it's interesting because the finality of everything and these legacies happen. But everything isn't equal. Every city, every game, it doesn't have the same meaning to people. The characters in the game, like a Mac Jones, you know, he's got a bigger hill to, you know, climb up. You know, a guy like Dak Prescott in Dallas. I mean, think of Tony Romo. Tony Romo, you know, all these people. Tony Romo's a great, amazing, he's this wonderful quarterback. But Tony Romo never got it done in the playoffs. And so there's still that taint.
No, he got it done in the playoffs. Everybody remembers the fumbled.
Right.
Think about how wild it is that when I was growing up as a kid who lived in Seattle, there was, you know, that you loved Tony Romo because that was back when they were still having the backup quarterbacks hold the hold those kicks and hold those extra points. And he fumbled that thing and blew it for him. I think that people define themselves, obviously, way more in the playoffs. The 17 game season is fun for us to watch, but everybody wants to see now what version of. I mean, this is why Patrick Mahomes has gone to this kind of atmospheric level, right? Where he's performed. I mean, he's thrown 18 touchdowns and two picks in the playoffs. You know, yeah. Something along those lines.
His game just comes alive in the playoffs.
And there are certain guys who respond and they love that.
They
Aaron Rodgers. Is great in the regular season, and then somehow steps it up even more in the playoffs.
And stinks in the playoffs.
Oh, come on.
No, I mean, they've had the AFC the NFC Championship in Green Bay, like, how many times?
Yeah.
Like, he's lost it, like, four times, I think.
Okay, so.
I mean, if you're a player, and you're fighting all year long, and you're just like, please let us have home field advantage in the playoffs, and please let it be in Green Bay, Wisconsin. There's not a better home field advantage than Green Bay, Wisconsin. And if you can't win, and that's my whole point, is the pressure of getting there and of what this means, the significance, it plays funny tricks on the very best of the players. And then there's some guys that it's like, you remember Jake Delhomme?
Yes, the Carolina Panthers. Yes.
He came in out of nowhere, like undrafted, nothing, and he was like the play.
They lost the Super Bowl by a field goal.
It didn't even affect him, like at all. Or a guy like Kurt Warner. You know, Kurt Warner went in and is just like, you know, this guy that's bagging groceries and he's unaffected by anything, and all of a sudden they're out winning Super Bowls, and it's just, you know, it doesn't. it doesn't have any impact on the greatness of the player or how good they are. It's a human nature thing.
Everybody wants to know.
It just people just can't handle. Peyton Manning wasn't very good in the playoffs.
Everybody wants to know, with a guy like Joe Burrow, we don't know anything about what this guy looks like in the playoffs. Yeah. With a guy like Derek Carr, we don't really know what he looks like in the playoffs either. So what version of those guys are we going to get? When you made it to the playoffs a couple times you went with the Lions, you were a creature of not just habit. You were borderline superstitious about how you did things. So how did you make it to where it was like, all right, I'm going to step my game up, but I still want to keep things at the same level, like when you went to Philadelphia in 95 or like what were the things that you were like, I'm going to do X? Or what felt different with that game? I mean, what felt different for you in those playoff situations that you played in?
Well, so we felt like we were going to go to the Super Bowl in 1995. That's where we felt. And we were just like, I don't know that we were any more confident. I don't know that I don't know that that was a bad thing. We just ran into – you just kind of have a game every once in a while where it's just a bad day. And it's a bad day for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, our defense gave up a bunch – you know, they gave up a late touchdown, a Hail Mary before the half.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was just one thing after another. And
it was one of those, like, 50 to 35 type games. It was
And I threw four interceptions in the game. And there, of course, is a tip interception – there's a holding the tight end interception, and they're still interceptions. But
so do you remember that game pretty well, or I can't tell if you.
No. Well,
this is one that Scott honestly. That's a real sore spot for you. It's one of the things that if you bring it up with Scott.
Well, that season Dallas went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right? they beat the Steelers in that Super Bowl.
And they won. And we played very well against the Cowboys. For whatever reason. It was a good matchup for us.
That's when you guys beat them down there at their place, right? In overtime
on Monday Night Football. Yeah. And so it's just one of those things where going into it, we weren't like lacking in confidence, or we weren't like nervous, or we weren't, you know, it was just this snowball effect happened, and just funny things happened. Cause I can't sit here and go, oh yeah. Did you prepare wrong? Did you go into the game wrong? No. And that's the part for me, like my time in Detroit, is like, I think teams are not patient enough with getting to and really winning the Super Bowl. And I'll go back to Peyton Manning. It just took a while for him to figure out how to win. Now, they're playing the New England Patriots
every other year. Yeah.
But the other team that was really patient about it was the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, they took some time. I mean, it took a while for Bill Cowher to figure out how to win Super Bowls. And he's regarded as one of the great coaches. They're a great organization. So for me, what was frustrating was they weren't patient enough with the team and the talent we had to see it through and really make it. So there's a level of patience that a team needs. It's like, you know, the Jazz right now. It's what do you do with the Utah Jazz? Like, everyone wants the Jazz to win a championship, and it's like, do we keep having patience with this group, this basketball team? And they said yes, right? They kept everyone. They didn't make wholesale changes. And so they just said, we know how hard it is to win championships. We feel like we've got a pretty good team. Let's just have some patience with this, and let's see it through. And so it's that balance of, well, how long do you give this team patience? Or is there another thing that you can add to this team? Or is it, look, this is just the ceiling. This team's never, ever going to win a championship. And that's the thing. Someone like Danny Ainge, who's been there and understands that, he's really good at figuring out kind of the temperature of where this team is. There's 32 teams in the NFL, and only one wins. One. Like, there's only one Super Bowl, you know, so it's the odds of winning.
But see,
hard to win. It really is.
This is where the NFL is king with the other, you know, professional leagues, in my opinion. Hockey's a little bit like this, too. Their playoffs are so much more intense. They're so much better to watch. The NBA is a little bit to that level. I think that We love watching those Western Conference semis and the Western Conference finals.
I think when LeBron stopped buying championships, I think the NBA actually has gotten more interesting to me. Really?
I mean,
because there are a lot of teams that can win now, and I like to see that. I mean, I'm a fan of sports on top of being a Jazz
fan. This
is
why the NFL is so good, because the NFL playoffs are as good as anything. This is why college football is amazing until you get to the semifinal and final game. This is when it's garbage, is when you get – because their postseason, so to speak, is not very good.
The Rose Bowl wasn't garbage, though.
No,
I'm not going to
– amazing would that have been if there would have been a – somebody wins that game and you're going to the championship going to the next round of the playoffs to get there. I mean, I talked with somebody today who not from here, and they just were like, hey, man, that Utah-Ohio State Rose Bowl was one of the funnest games I've seen in a long time. Yeah. And I went, that is great. It was amazing.
It changed me, Alex.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've been moved. Different person now.
You're so, yeah. You've got an aura about you.
Did you notice?
I think it's weird you carry around a dozen roses with you all the time, too.
One in my mouth.
You just hand it out to people all the time. All right, we're going to take our first break here.
97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. We're here at the warehouse. Johnny's leaving? All right, fine. No, it's cool, man. It's cool. Now, Johnny is actually the cool one of the group. Johnny's the coolest one of the group, right?
I would agree with that, yeah.
There are some cool people we work with, but Johnny's the coolest.
Yeah.
I would say. Hans is all right.
He has what? How many Grammys does he have? And
just the one.
Just one?
Just it, yeah.
But
come on, don't overdo it.
How many gold records?
Two golds, one platinum.
And a Grammy.
Hey, talk to me when you get
Do you have any of that?
I got a titanium one out in the car. Yeah, so you can
carbon fiber. That's what I'm going for. I want carbon fiber.
Yeah, I think that I think you could do the thing nowadays. Everybody just wants the diamond YouTube play button. You know what I mean? The YouTube play button is now.
That's the thing.
Yeah, you get 10 million.
That's the new platinum these days.
Yeah, do you have a gold button? Do you have a gold button? Are you close? Yeah,
I think that the baby shark went over 10. Was it 10
billion?
Billion.
Yeah.
Billion views.
Yeah.
First video, period.
See, Johnny can't hang with Baby Shark.
No.
Baby Shark's got 6 Grammys. He's got a couple platinum records. See, that's – hey, we're at the warehouse, and I want to make sure that everybody knows. If you want a couple of – I'll tear these boat show and RV show tickets off for you. I'll hand them to you myself. We've also got a giveaway next hour. We're going to be standing by for another set of 4 tickets for our suite night at the Grizzlies next week. You and I are going to be there. We're going to provide the food and the drink. And then the Grizzlies are going to provide the hockey. We're going to be in the suite next week. So come down to the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West, right here in Salt Lake City. Scott, Rudy Gobert, the team has cleared Rudy Gobert from health and safety protocols. Rudy Gay also going to be back. I'm assuming by Sunday we're probably going to have a couple of other guys who are going to be back on that Jazz roster. Getting back to full strength for this team is going to be so needed. I mean, they're on a 4-game losing streak. And I don't even think it's for the team as much as it is just so all of us can shut up about it, right? I mean, the reality is that fans we get up in arms about the Jazz going on a 4-game losing streak. And I know Donovan's been very critical about the whole effort and stuff.
I don't think fans are like upset about the Jazz.
Yes,
losing.
We are.
No. I think the fans are just over COVID, and I think their reaction to everything is just kind of, you know, speaking out, lashing out against, and just tired of COVID, because it is not going away anytime soon, and it's rampant right now, and so I think people are just like, I think we've lost our patience, because I sit here and I see this, it's like, the Jazz couldn't win against Cleveland the other night. They didn't have enough players. They didn't have the right kind of players, and so you just, as a fan, you just go, yeah, okay. But I think people are like, no, it's not okay. I'm just so sick of COVID. I'm sick of the impact that it's having on all these aspects of our life, including being fans of sports.
Well, I just so with Rudy coming back and kind of getting back to quote unquote normal in that sense, I think that the Jazz can you know, kind of start to stabilize a little bit. This next run is going to be super important. I mean, we talked about how coming back for Sunday's game at Denver or against the Nuggets here is going to be you know.
So who's out then now?
We don't know yet because it's going to be. I mean, it's Friday and they don't play till Sunday. So there still could be
the other half of the team probably.
Well, I don't know what the trickle effect is of who could be back.
They could be out and back in before they ever play another game.
By Sunday, everything can change or everything can I don't know who's actually totally been out already with the – like, has Mike Conley not gotten sick at all yet?
I think Mike Conley's the kind of guy that will never get sick. He just looks like this guy that's like, man, I don't get COVID. It just doesn't impact.
I know a few people that act like that too.
Yeah,
yeah. They ended up getting it. So yeah. You're one of them.
No, I wasn't. I was never. I was like, I got COVID before it was like
it was cool.
COVID. Yeah. Like before vaccinations were invented.
Invented.
Yeah, I was a pre-vaxxer.
Okay.
COVID victim.
Who does that? He goes, yeah, back in 2020, I had to walk up hill both ways to school in the snow to get my vaccine.
That's right.
It's wild. So with Rudy coming back and with Rudy Gay and Rudy Gobert coming back, the Jazz, that four-game losing streak, I'm not sure what the expectations are going to be now going forward. Like, how long do you give a team when they come back from something like this? And if you're watching this team closely, and now that they're in that third or fourth spot in the West, kind of toggling back and forth with the Grizzlies, who are hotter than anybody in basketball right now, I'm just wondering what the next step needs to be for this team to be able to start improving and getting to the point where everybody – because you're a month away from the trade deadline now. You're less than a month away from the trade deadline. Everybody knows it feels like there's going to be some sort of movement there, and then you have to kind of re-gel the team after you make a move like that with somebody who leaves a roster.
Yeah, and I think that will be fine, and I think that Jazz will figure all of that stuff out. The Jazz, though, to me, feel like a team – I like the positioning of where this team is, and that is that the Jazz are kind of off the radar, and I think they actually play better, they have more success when everyone's not gunning for them or everyone's not, you know, they're like kind of rolling their eyes like, yeah, this is Utah Jazz, and it kind of reminds me of Milwaukee a year ago. Where Milwaukee had been this team that was just hot, best record in the NBA, and just fizzled, boom. They just tanked in the playoffs, kind of like what we were talking about in that first segment. And then last year, they kind of came out of nowhere. They weren't expected to win. They were on the verge of elimination pretty much in every round of the playoffs that they were in, and they just kind of found basketball. They found their rhythm at the right time and in the right moments. And that's what I think maybe this Utah Jazz team is learning is it's really gearing itself for being at its best version when you get to the playoffs. So, yeah, getting Rudy Gobert back will be a nice thing. There's no question that the Jazz are built and should be built around his unique skill set because it is unique in what he can do and how he can alter a basketball game.
So Donovan Mitchell says that this next month is going to be really key to kind of their success going forward.
I would agree with that.
And part of it's because is now their schedule has gotten more difficult with the kind of some of these powerhouse teams that they're going to be playing for in the league now. And you've got a Nuggets Lakers back-to-back road games Sunday, Monday. And then the next couple of weeks, I told you that stretch between next Sunday. It goes a Saturday, Sunday back to back with the Suns and the Golden State Warriors, yeah. And then the Suns again right after.
Which
so you
is kinda cruel.
Do this, it's a
cruel schedule.
But everybody is going to go through, you know, these bad back to backs. The team has always planned around. Okay, what game do we want Mike Conley playing in that back to back on? Do we want it in that second game or the first game? And with these with three games in a row like this. Coming up, I think that the next couple of games will be nice because the Lakers aren't very good. I mean, to be quite honest,
but to beat the Lakers, Nuggets, no matter already, what they are,
yes,
and who they are, and if
it makes
LeBron
it makes a difference
playing
it makes a difference.
Center or not, you know, who cares? I to me, like, I want to beat the Lakers just at any point.
Right.
And you know what? I will relish that moment.
I just wonder if right now, if you're going to see...
Especially with LeBron.
So the Jazz will have to face the Warriors, the Suns twice, the Nets also. They've got the Lakers, Nuggets, Grizzlies, who are now awesome, right? This is all just in the next. This is all just before the trade deadline. So in the next 6 or 8 games before the trade deadline, they play the hardest teams in both the East and the West multiple times in some cases. And so you're going to find out a lot about this Jazz team. And I think that the more you can get, I think everybody will be kind of back to normal, so to speak, by the 26th or 27th. I wonder if this Jazz team can get everything together by the time they have that stretch with the Warriors and the Suns.
Do you remember a year ago where the Jazz, best record in the NBA, they were just plowing over teams leading up into the playoffs? Man, everyone's just like, oh. And then after, I mean, leading into the All-Star weekend.
Yes.
And then the All-Star weekend came along, and they just weren't quite the same
after
team
that, yeah,
after
yeah,
that.
Yeah. They were kind of – at that point, they were on their back foot most of that second half of the
season. And it was just like, oh, this team's not even – and that's what I want to see kind of an inverse of, you know, where like this first half of the year kind of feels like the end of last season. So when Donovan Mitchell says, hey, this next month or so is what's really critical for us – that's what I want to see from this Utah Jazz team, is just really hitting its stride, really, you know, building up to and peaking as they go into the playoffs.
Well, they've got an interesting back-to-back, like I said, after this week. And Sunday and Monday, you've got at the Nuggets, you've got at L.A. down at the Lakers place. And so I'm interested to see just over these next couple of games how long it's going to take that for them to kind of get back to something, some version of a normal team. And I know that with Rudy being out these last few games, he's out 4 games. They lose all 4 games in a row. I don't know if it's necessarily like, hey, if Rudy's in, they don't lose games. If Rudy's out, then they win all those, or they lose all these games if he's out, and then they win all these games as soon as he's back in. So let's see if they can figure this thing out. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we've got our What Are the Odds right around the corner. You don't want to miss a Friday edition of What Are the Odds. And then also, we've still got to talk with Tom again. He says that he teased this second deal for us, and so I want to make sure we get to that as well. First, though, Built Bar, double chocolate, peanut butter brownie, or salted caramel, 100% real chocolate, 100% real delicious. Order yours today at Built.com. Save 10% if you enter Zone at checkout. That's Built Bar. We'll come back. That's right around the corner. Got our What Are the Odds. Stay right here with us. We're at the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West in Salt Lake City. Come down and get your RV and boat show passes. Come down and get the deals of the weekend, your boom pricing all across the store. Come in and have your – you're thinking about buying all that furniture? Might as well come down and do it at the warehouse and get all that amazing pricing. 1825 South, 300 West right here in Salt Lake City. More to go. It's unrivaled on 97.5 1280 The Zone.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us here on the program. NFL Wild Card Weekend, we're very excited. This is when we really love to talk about football, this type of a weekend. We've got a lot to get to, though. Our What Are the Odds segment is coming up here right after our market update, brought to you by TriDayTrading.com. The Dow Industrial down 200 points today. NASDAQ up 86, and the S&P up, that's flat, just up 4 points. But, so there's your market update, brought to you by TriDayTrading.com. Everybody can try to be a day trader. You can, too. TriDayTrading.com.
You're a creative guy.
Well, that's very nice of you.
How come you can't come up with, come up with a Baby Shark song? I mean, come on. How hard is it to get a song like that? 10 billion views. Mm. I mean, just take 10 million views, Alex.
This sounds like my wife. Well, she'll be like, hey, you say funny stuff sometimes. Why can't you be funny like this guy?
Yeah.
Be funny, make some jokes like Will Ferrell over here, make some movies. And I'm like, I don't think that's how it works. You can't just say, make a Baby Shark song.
Say something funny right now.
I hate that. That's the worst thing to say to anybody.
Come on, say something funny.
Listen, no, I don't want to be inappropriate. Because that's the only, I go straight to the potty humor, man.
Oh.
Right when we do.
Lowest common denominator.
Absolutely. Yeah. Go straight to the toilet humor, the potty jokes, the inappropriate stuff. That's how you get the laughs, Scott. And that's why I got to stay away from it.
First up here. So what are the odds works like this? We roll out a scenario, and you tell me 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen. And bonus points if you can get a jersey number that associates with that same number. So if I think it's a 40% chance that the Jazz are going to win are going to
40 games?
No, come on. They're going to get to 40 games. Yeah. I'm saying if the Jazz are going to win, go to the Western Conference Finals, not even the NBA Finals, just to go to the Western Conference Finals, and I say, well, that's a 40% chance in my mind. Oh, boy, who was 40?
Bill Bates.
Bill Bates.
Yeah.
That's actually – that's he was one of my favorite Cowboys of all time. You know why? Because he looked like everyone's dad. He was, like, balding. He was, like, this guy you're like, even you could be a – even – hey, Dad, how come you're not a Dallas Cowboy? Bill Bates is bald, and so yeah. are you. What's the problem? See where that does, see where that falls off? So here's what we're going to do. First one, Scott.
Yes.
What are the odds the Jazz end up – I'm just going to go straight to it. Oh. What are the odds the Jazz end up just losing – or end up breaking their losing streak versus the Nuggets on Sunday?
I think it's a Bill Bates 40%.
Come on. I'm trying to think who else is a 40. There's not a lot of 40s.
Gale Sayers. Or was he 20?
No. See, now I'm getting it mixed up. I think he was 20.
I think Gale Sayers.
Gale Sayers might have been 40.
I think he was 40.
He was 40. Okay.
Yeah. Don't look on your phone.
Don't
That's
do it.
Cheating.
Okay. Scott.
Actually, I think that the odds are higher than that. I'll give it a Mark Eaton 53%.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Well, it's not game day today.
No, but with Rudy coming back, it's a center. Right. There's a synergy with the centers. You know what I mean? That's good. Did you see Nickelodeon's going to be broadcasting the Cowboys 49ers playoff game? What are the odds you tune it over onto Nick instead of because they do the thing like the sliming touchdowns.
Right,
they
yeah.
do the I don't know. It's just like a lot of I think the announcers are basically. Is SpongeBob one of the announcers? Is that what I just
said? I had a really, really bad nightmare about SpongeBob. It was so bad.
There's not a therapist in the world that wants to tackle what you just said.
Do you know how scary looking SpongeBob is?
I mean, I have children.
Whoever came up with that is to talk about therapist issues.
Yeah, I know. I want you to bring up. There's got to be something going on in that brain of yours, buddy.
He had me locked in a room, wouldn't let me out. It was terrible.
No one wants to hear what Scott Mitchell's nightmares are. Man.
It was awful,
especially with.
I didn't get over that one.
So what are the odds you're going to watch the Cowboys game? Cowboys 49ers on Nickelodeon.
Whether it's this one or in the future, because I think the NFL goes to streaming. I think streaming is going to just take over everything. I have inside information on this.
Oh, okay.
I met with the president of the CW network.
Oh yeah, he's all. Yeah. Right after we start showing the replays of the Steve Harvey Show, we're going to start streaming some NFL games.
Well, it's just where everyone's going. So,
what's even on the CW anymore?
The All-American.
Is Touched by an Angel still on that?
I don't know.
They filmed some of those shows in Utah.
Yeah. Well, the guy's from Utah. He's a Utah
is he?
Grad. Yeah.
Oh, the CW guy is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So my answer is I don't.
You're not going to watch it on Nickelodeon.
No, I'm not. I'm going to say it's Deion Sanders. No, I'll go Emmitt Smith, 22%.
Okay.
Yeah.
You bumped it up from a 21 to a 22. Nickelodeon. Remember that? Come on, man. It's a good brand. Yeah. I think it's weird when they throw a touchdown and the slime shoots up in the air. I really do wish if they're going to slime somebody, if a coach on the sideline says, I don't know, and then he gets hit with the slime, then I'm on board.
Well, that's kind of what you dump on the coach at the end of the game. Right?
Oh, see, now slime. That would be good. Yeah. They could dump the slime. You know who would love it is Bill Belichick.
I just love the Duke's Mayo Bowl. I can't get over that. They dumped a bucket of mayonnaise on the coach. There's a part of me that, yeah, it wouldn't be so bad.
Mike Golic Jr.
I like mayonnaise.
Ate Oreos with mayonnaise on the broadcast.
Yeah, no, that's disgusting.
And then they had some guy in the crowd. They handed him a gallon-sized bucket of it, of the mayonnaise, and a large spoon, and just said, go to town and we'll put you on TV.
And he did.
And he did it.
Yeah.
And he did it.
I'd do that to go on TV.
He's a proud mom. That was a proud mom moment for that kid, I'm sure. Scott, what are the odds that Novak Djokovic ends up playing in the Australian Open? So he had the visa revoked, got it reinstated, had it revoked again, This is it's at some point you just if I'm Novak Djokovic,
now that
I
was,
say,
but he got it revoked because of forgery, right?
Well, he lied about. Oh no, I never went to. Yeah, he said I was totally isolated the last 2 weeks, oh. And there's like 9 pictures of him in like Serbia and Spain and all these different. He broke while he was COVID positive. He was in like 5 different other countries, so I don't think at this point, if you're Novak Djokovic, you act like the victim and go, I just can't play tennis like this. I can't play tennis like this. I'm disappointed for my fans. I wish we could play, but the government in Australia, you pull the thing like I'm pulling the plug on it, and then you look like a hero. You know what I mean? That's what if. I don't think he's going to play in
the
Australian Open.
Is that like when you are dating someone and you break up with them because they're going to break up with you? Is that kind of what he's doing?
Absolutely.
He's just like, I can't.
Like when the girlfriend calls up and you know it's the moment where she's going to break up with you and you go, hold on, before you get started, I'm breaking up with you.
Or like when you're going to get fired and you
Here's
go,
my letter
I
of resignation.
I quit. Yeah. Yeah. You can't fire me because I quit.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's a great move.
Yeah.
It's an awesome move.
It feels like, I don't know, it feels like 11% for me.
We got to get out to the,
That's my pick for Novak.
For Novak?
Yeah.
You're about to say Nikola Jokic. There's two jokers we get mixed up.
97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's another edition of Unrivaled right here with you. 97.5 1280 The Zone. The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. We got a lot going on this hour. We're here at the warehouse in Salt Lake City where, of course, they're doing the boom pricing as always. I've also got some tickets to the RV and the Boat Show for you to come down and hang out. 1825 South, 300 West. In Salt Lake City, Scott Mitchell, our resident former NFL quarterback, is in. The doctor is in. Scott is here with us. And, boy, I haven't seen you in a week and a half or something like that?
Yeah, it's been over 10 days.
It's been more than 10.
Oh, yeah. It's
like,
been
I think we were like a little too.
I want to call it like maybe 12 to 14.
Yeah, yeah. I think you did the right thing by making sure that you.
I had no choice.
I know. We have procedures and things we got to do here, Scott. Right off the bat here in this 4 o'clock hour, we're just going to jump right in here. A conversation here during the cut about the college football playoff. And I want to jump into this because this is another perspective, this time from the ACC. And I smell a rat on this thing. So let's start the hour off as we always do with the cut. Jump on in here. Let's do it.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
Well, the cut brought to you by Teton Wealth Group. Is your retirement plan ready for the coming tax increases? Go to retireteton.com/radio for a complimentary tax savings plan. Be protected. Compliments of the Teton Wealth Group. RetireTeton.com/radio. Scott, the college football playoff, I don't know if you want to call it drama. I think it's but I do think it's ridiculous because I think that we're being told, hey, we're not going to have an expanded playoff, and here are the reasons why. And there's no good reason why. Right. All the powers that be, all the people that are sitting around, I don't know what – the problem is I get not doing it next year or the year after, right? I get waiting on it. I get trying to figure out, doing this thing further down the road than just like next week or something. But the reality is that I do think that you have to have somebody being honest about why you're not expanding the playoff. And in the ACC's case, they have actually said that there are a couple things that they're worried about.
And this is the ACC that's not very good.
So this is now the ACC that has not in the past little while, right? You've been able to say, hey, Clemson, man, they're at the table every year, and this year was a quote unquote down year for Clemson, and so. But the ACC, yes, overall.
So the ACC is the Atlantic Clemson Conference.
That's exactly right, and it hasn't been anybody else.
No.
And so, with the expanded playoff, the ACC says. They don't have – there isn't a playoff problem. They're fine with the way it's set up.
and that they also said that there are too many games for these student-athletes to play in the expanded playoff, which I can't stand that's the argument, okay? We just got done watching a 14-1 Georgia team beat a now 13-2 Alabama team. 15
right.
games,
right.
okay? Back when you were in college, Scott, what was your season?
12.
Or 11. I mean, remember when it was like, some, it depended it on 12. The year. Sometimes you'd have 11. And college football went from 11 to 12 games. And then, you know, every once in a while you'd see those 13-game seasons.
Well, if you went to a bowl game.
It was crazy. And then you had the conference championship. Sometimes you saw that 14-game season. Yeah. You had a national championship now and a semifinal, and these teams are playing 15 games. What would the actual number be, though? That's my question, is where, what would the number actually be for a college football playoff? You'd add?
We already went through this. You know that, right? You know that we went through this.
We scenario. Gave them the we gave them the, all the yeah. pieces to this.
And if you had the best teams have bye weeks, you'd have eight teams that would play one extra game than what they're playing now.
Yes.
And the teams that had byes would actually not play any more games than what they're playing at this point.
Think about the worthless game that is on everybody's schedule. There's a team on everybody's schedule. They go, we didn't need to play that game.
Yeah.
For Utah last year, Weber State, right?
Yeah.
Don't need to play that game. For BYU. Oof. There's a couple on there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could, and in the coming years, you're talking about a couple of games where you go, yeah, listen, that's a game you don't need. You don't need to have these games. The SEC does not need to have its annual break in November to play the Citadel.
Right.
You don't need to have those games. You could work this out for these student athletes, and the hypocrisy of, well, these student athletes, you know, we got to get these guys, you know, they got to worry about school. Well, look, they work this through with college basketball every year. They're able to work this thing out. And so when they do this, and then the second load of BS that I saw on this report is that the coaches in the ACC all unanimously said that now isn't a good time for expansion. So you're telling me that the 12 coaches or however many are in the ACC, I don't know how many teams are in there, 12, 14?
Yeah, I think there's 14.
You're telling me all of those coaches said, no, it's not a good time to expand. Every coach in the country should be excited about expansion because all it does is increase the chance for you to end up in a playoff sooner than you ever dreamed or more often than you would ever dream. Or in the case of if you're recruiting and you're Clemson and you're in the ACC, if you're guaranteed to get in with a championship or you might get an at-large, you could tell these kids the likelihood of you going to the college football playoff, an expanded college football playoff over all 4 years that you're playing for me, is almost 100%.
So when you bring this up, okay, and you bring these points out, and you say, look, what? There's too many other things for expansion. It's too many games, blah, blah, blah. So you're sitting here saying all this stuff, and you're making a reasonable argument. You're saying everyone thinks that it should be expanded. Everyone agrees that that's a good idea, and to come out with these lame ideas – It's literally like, I'll bet they had a conference call. And I'll bet they had a conference call with probably like, I don't know, let's just say the athletic director, the head coach, and who's ever in charge of ESPN. And they said, here's what we're going to do. And ESPN probably made the phone call.
And they said, look, we're not expanding right now.
And they just said,
don't ask us anymore.
They said, you just need to create a narrative, and you need to say no. And so it's easy to hide behind NIL. It's
right.
easy to hide behind too many games. It's easy to hide behind student-athletes. But that's not what they're hiding behind. And I don't think anyone's hiding behind this. Why in the world would ESPN want to give up its stranglehold on the college football playoffs? Why doesn't everyone just say, you know what, we've got an agreement with ESPN – and let's just be honest about it. We love the idea of expansion. We'll deal with it down the road when this expires.
But we've got a TV contract right now, and it doesn't end until 2026.
Yeah, and that be the end of it.
But not say your coaches are all in agreement. Nobody wants an expanded college football playoff.
The problem is the SEC always is in the playoffs. They're the only conference that hasn't been burned by this. And so now they're like, well, you know, Barry Alvarez at the Big Ten and the Big 12, or, you know, just all these conferences are saying, wait a minute, this stinks that we're not in the playoffs.
Right.
And we got to do something to change it because we're big-time football. We're big-boy Power 5 football, and you can't exclude someone from any of those conferences out of the conversation. You just can't do it, and that's what they've done, and that's really what the stink is. That's why people tried to get this to get changed, because someone got left out of the dance. What I can't figure out, you know, you bring up Clemson, right? How does Clemson become the poster child for the ACC? Like Clemson. Clemson doesn't have a history. Clemson isn't a traditional
thing. They do
now. I mean, Florida State has way, way much a better history than a Clemson. Miami.
Yep.
I mean, Virginia Tech, you know, Beamer Ball. I mean, there's a lot of other places you'd go. But Clemson? Like Clemson, maybe Danny Ford in 1980? And then all of a sudden they came out of nowhere. And then you have Georgia. And Georgia beats Alabama, right? And Texas A&M kind of has figured out this formula of how to beat Alabama. And what is the common denominator? The disciples of Nick Saban. So you have Dabo Swinney, who is actually at Alabama. You have Kirby Smart at Alabama.
Talk about a boring couple hours of church. The Church of Nick Saban, is that what you called it? The Gospel of Nick Saban?
But think of, there's a lot of things here, and one I just realized. Nick Saban's great at hiring people.
Yes.
I mean, when you can churn out assistant coaches that go off, and Nick Saban's also a guy who's not afraid to go bring in someone like a Steve Sarkisian, and where he recognizes talent in a coach and says, you know, come here, lick your wounds. A Lane Kiffin. A lot of these guys, he says, you know, come in here. And I mean, that speaks volumes for a guy who goes, I'm not afraid of you guys. I'm not intimidated. I'm not going to hold, you know, you think of a lot of old coaches are like, I'm not going to give you my secrets. I'm not going to let you in on this special sauce of what's going on here. But all these coaches go out and they go, I know how Nick Saban thinks. I know how to recruit against Nick Saban. Dabo Swinney goes, I know. He goes, why would you want to go to Alabama? Like, come here and you'll start right now. You know, Nick Saban's tough to play for. You know, come here where we love you.
Right.
We'll love you, you know. And it works. Because
they put a slide in at their facility. You can go down the slide. Oh, that's fun. Look at all this. It's amazing.
And I guarantee you these high school kids, they'll be influenced by anything. I mean, really. But these guys know, like Alabama's not a secret to them. They know how to recruit against Nick Saban. They know how to and they prove, you know, because Clemson beat Alabama.
How does that have to do with the expansion, though? Why would the expansion not happen when these teams know that the best thing that could happen, the ACC should be jumping at the chance. That's why Bob Bowlesby's going.
Clemson's
going
to come back.
That's why Bob Bowlesby's going, hey, man, we got to expand. That's why the Pac-12's going, please expand, because these conferences know exactly what their challenge is, and that is they are not the SEC. I don't know why the ACC is doing this whole, yeah, we don't need it either. What is the, like, what are we talking about here?
Because they have a seat at the dance.
They're on the East Coast,
but they have Clemson. They have a team, and so maybe Clemson's down this year. Had an amazing recruiting class. You know, they're a preseason. You know, they're in the top 10
right.
in the country. It was just an aberration year for them. It was a fluke. They'll be back, and so they're kind of like, we don't want to rock the boat with. When you can claim national championships, go to college football playoffs, put players in the pros, then in those situations you don't want to change that, because if it expands, it really will help everyone out. It really will spread the talent around. You're still going to have an SEC team or two in. But you maybe aren't going to get them actually winning every single year. You'll have other teams that will break through. Someone in the Pac-12 in the next three years will get into the college football playoffs. Whether it's Oregon, USC, or Utah, one of those three teams in the next 3 years will be in there.
The ACC. I mean, if Mario Cristobal starts to put things together for Miami in the next 2 years. They could have been in the conversation of being in that college football playoff.
Mario Cristobal is too honest. You got to be kind of a
you got to be a little bit of a shyster to go coach at Miami.
It's like
he played during the glory days of Miami. He knows.
He knows the culture. It was a
he
culture.
Knows it has to go
it
on.
Was a culture.
Coral Gables, isn't that where that's at?
Yeah.
It's a wild place.
Coral Gables is beautiful.
It is.
It's nice.
97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
World might have. I don't think anyone in this locker room undervalued his presence. You know, in the same token, we lost two winnable games in Indiana and Detroit. Tonight we had no centers. There's no secret. He's the three-time defensive player of the year for a reason. The answer would be no, because we all value him. I would say maybe externally it was looked at a certain way, but we all know that what it is with Rudy. So I would say no, because we know his value, know his worth.
Rudy's been cleared with the league health and safety protocols. Now we'll rejoin the Jazz on Sunday. That game against Denver. Refresh the inside and outside of your home with a five-star experience with Five-Star Painting. They've got the time, skills, and tools. FiveStarPainting.com. That's FiveStarPainting.com.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Oh, man. You hear that music, Scott? This is a band you and I could both jam on. We don't jam on all the bands together,
but we have some that we
can both show up at the same time and listen to. And of course,
this just happens to be one of
this
them.
Is the long intro of the of Hotel California by the Eagles.
There is a Hotel California, by the way.
I'm sure it's high class. I'm sure that there
it's
aren't
Santa,
any.
It's in Santa Monica.
Are there a bunch of? I feel like when I was a kid. This song was there was a radio station when I was a kid called The Eagle, and they launched, and you know what they did? They played Hotel California for the first 72 hours of the station.
Just
back
that
to
song?
Back, just oh. Hotel California for wow. 72 hours.
And never played it again, probably.
Well, that no, but they did it once a year. They would play it for 24 hours, like wow. to commemorate their anniversary. And I would, and you know what I would do? I would listen for like at least four or five turns in a row on that thing, man. I used to love it. Hey, by the way, the Eagles are your band of the day, brought to you by Live Nation, who's proud to present the Eagles coming right here to Salt Lake City, baby. Hotel California, the 2022 tour on May 25th of this year at Vivint Smart Home Arena. They're going to be performing the entire Hotel California record from beginning to end, along with a lot of their greatest hits. So tickets on sale right now. Go to LiveNation.com. The Eagles are your Live Nation band of the day. Joining us right now on Unrivaled, he is the host of Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio. He's also a BYU insider for us on KSLSports.com. Matt Biamonte joining us on the program. What's going on, Matt?
Not much, guys. Glad it's Friday. The weekend is here.
Absolutely.
The weather's bizarrely warm, isn't it, too?
Dude, the golf course up by me opened. They're taking tee times, man. That's how weird things are right now.
I don't like that.
That's crazy.
We need more snow.
I know. We got to get more snow in these. I love it. Matt, that game last night, BYU versus Gonzaga, that's always a tough game. But, man, 110-84, and it was a good chunk of that second half that that Gonzaga was up by 30. This is a really, really good basketball team. Or is BYU not as good as we necessarily thought?
Gonzaga is really good, and call me crazy, guys, but I think BYU fans should be really encouraged by that performance, even though they lost by 26, because Gonzaga did things in this game that they don't typically do, and if they do these things consistently, they will win the NCAA tournament. It's that stuff. They made 70% field goals, and they already were leading the country in field goal percentage just above 52%, and they shattered that. I mean, 70% for a basketball, They could have beaten half of the NBA yesterday shooting the way that they shot.
They're
not a good three-point shooting team.
Come on. They may be able to beat a Jazz team without centers. That might be it.
It's like that Gonzaga team. They should have signed 10-day contracts with those with Timmy and Holmgren yesterday.
Just do an NIL deal.
It's a 10-day. Yeah. It's like an internship. You pay them a couple grand
NBA
to do the
internship.
My heavens, that's what they could have.
So BYU is going to go into the Big 12, and this is kind of this rivalry with Gonzaga and BYU in basketball has kind of become a thing. Do you think that BYU continues this? Is it something they'd want to do in the future when BYU is no longer in the West Coast Conference?
They should continue it because why wouldn't you want to play one of the best programs in the past 20 years on a yearly basis? That would look great on your resume, non-conference. You only get to play them once, but maybe you work out a deal where you're going every other home and home every other season. So Mark Few talked about this last night and that he wants it to continue. And I think Coach Pope has made it abundantly clear in his tenure that he wants to play good basketball teams. And it's hard to get good basketball teams to Provo. Well, if you can get Gonzaga to come to the Marriott Center every other year, that's a no-brainer. So look, college basketball is not like college football, where if you play these teams and you lose, it hurts you. Like that loss against Gonzaga last night, although it looks bad, it does nothing to BYU's chances of making the tournament. They slid one spot on Joe Lunardi's bracketology from an 8 seed to a 9 seed. So you want to play these games, and if you win a handful of them, that's all you need. So, yes, BYU should continue to play this game every single year.
Matt, one of the things I've been curious about with this BYU basketball team is that, you know, the West Coast Conference has been more competitive this year, and we're seeing some teams at the top that are really, really good. What does Mark Pope have to do, though, now? Like, what's the next step for him? Because, you know, Gonzaga is not just like a – they're not just like a pretty good team every once in a while. They're now, you know, a national powerhouse. And when I was growing up, they were a Cinderella story. And now they are one of the best recruiting teams in the country. Mark Few has changed that entire program. Is that something that Mark Pope is going to end up doing at BYU, or does he leave before that even ends up happening?
I think he stays. He made some comments in an article earlier this week that – you know, this is just the beginning for BYU basketball and that they can achieve the highest levels. And I believe him. I think that now that BYU's in the Big 12, basketball-wise, they should be able to recruit higher than they've ever done. And we've already seen indications that that's happening. And you can win at the highest level in the Big 12. The champion of the tournament last year was from the Big 12 in Baylor. So I don't think there's a need for him to go anywhere to do what he wants to do as a coach. And I think coaching has changed so much that do you even want to go to a place like Duke or Kentucky where in their primes, they were great places to coach because you were getting the highest rated recruits and they were staying for 2 or 3 years. Now, a Duke or Kentucky, it's just you're churning people over year after year after year. That's not happening at Gonzaga. It happens to a guy here or there, Jalen Suggs, maybe Chet Holmgren, but it doesn't happen to the whole roster. So I think what Gonzaga's done, it's where you want to be if you're a coach, and if Mark Pope wants to stay at BYU as long as he wants, he can do that. And now that his recruiting's picking up and they've got the power label on a conference in the future, you can do everything you want to do. So I think BYU can absolutely become Gonzaga-like into the future if they can continue to recruit and hit on some of those recruits. But look, you need to look at that loss and say, wow, the gap is so wide. Look, Gonzaga is better than BYU, but the gap is not as wide as the Mississippi River. And down into the future, as they're recruiting, because there's some recruits in the pipeline, guys, that are on missions that when they join, we're talking 4-star caliber players at the guard position. BYU is going to be just fine. So I think Coach Pope's here for the long haul, and it's the sky's the limit for BYU basketball.
You know, the Mississippi River, actually at its origins, is small enough you can actually jump over it. So, you know, maybe that.
Oh, look at Scott. Look at Scott bringing like a metaphor for life and for your sports team. There you go.
I like that.
That makes it feel a bit better.
All right,
about
so these early, you know, top 25 rankings in football have come out. BYU's shown up in quite a few of them in the top 25. Where do you think this BYU football team ranks going into next season?
I had them in the KSL Sports way too early, top 25. I had them at 19. So I think defensively there are some major question marks there. But offensively, they should be able to score with almost anybody in the country with what they're bringing back. The offensive line may be the best that they've had in 20 years. I mean, they were really good last year, and they bring a lot of those guys back. And then you add Kingsley Sumaatahia on the right side at the tackle position, highly recruited guy. The running back position, is we talked about this last week, but it looks a little more sure. Yeah, losing Algier hurts, but when you have a great line and you have some good run-blocking tight ends, and you got Gunnar Romby coming back. So,
and Jackson Dart. You can't forget Jackson Dart.
I don't know. I don't think Jackson Dart's coming to BYU. So, but he, if he comes, he's not going to start. Jaron Hall was good enough last season that he's the starter next year.
I thought everyone earned their position every year.
Come on, Matt. That's what you always preach. Let's go.
When you have the most Power 5 wins of any quarterback in the history of BYU football, I think you did enough to get the starting quarterback job the next season. Jaron Hall was great this year. I don't care who comes in. There's no competition for Jaron Hall's spot next year at the quarterback position. No way.
So you would take Jaron Hall over Jackson Dart if Jackson Dart was at BYU?
For next season? Absolutely. What's great about Jackson Dart is a highly recruited guy who has NFL potential, but last season, if you look at the stats and they're playing the field, Jaron Hall was a better quarterback. So that's an easy question going into next year.
All right. Matt, what do you guys have going on Cougar Sports Saturday tomorrow? I'm assuming you guys are going to – Mitch had BYU ranked a lot lower, I think, than you did in the way too early top 25.
I don't know what Mitch is. Mitch must have – look, they've returned so many people. It's just – if you want to talk about having a good year and then rolling over that production to the next year, BYU fits the bills. But as far as Cougar Sports Saturday tomorrow, we have Hans Olsen. He's coming to talk about this way too early 2022 stuff, so that'll be fun. And then we also have Mark Durant from BYU Basketball Broadcasting. He'll join us to talk about that blowout loss and then the matchup against San Francisco. So a lot of football and basketball talk, as usual, on the program.
All right, Matt Biamonte, Cougar Sports Saturday, KSLSports.com. It's our BYU Insider. We'll talk to you next Friday, buddy.
Sounds good. Have a good weekend, guys. Take care.
Right, there you go. There's old Matt Biamonte. Holding down the fort down there on Cougar Sports Saturday. We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. More to go on the program when we return. We got ourselves all sorts of stuff to get into when it comes to the NFL. Specifically, there are 8 jobs that are now open at the head coaching position. I'm going to ask Scott, out of all these franchises, the ones you want to be at, the ones you want to coach at, and the ones you don't want to be coaching at. You might be surprised by that lineup. We've got more to go here on the program. First, it's a new year. And it's a new you. Davis Vision can help you get rid of those glasses and contacts with LASIK surgery. Schedule your free consultation today. Save $1,000. Get a hold of Robin and set it up. You can get the free consultation, like I said, and take $1,000 off of that eligible LASIK procedure. So 801-253-3080. 801-253-3080 or go to DavisVisionMD.com. Tell them the zone sent you. More to go right here, right around the corner. Some NFL head coaching position talk next on 97.5 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK. Joined right now by the Pac-12 commissioner, George Kliavkov. I'm curious how much of what has gone wrong, what needs to be fixed, can be done by the Pac-12 commissioner and the conference office, and what percentage is on the schools? What is the balance here? How much of this is on your plate?
It's probably 80-20. Probably 80% of the decisions that lead to football success happen on the campus and not at the conference. But 20% is an important 20%, right? We have to be better about providing a better platform when we renegotiated our media rights, and that's related to revenue, it's related to distribution, it's related to competitive advantage, deciding who gets to play at what time of the day, for highlighting for AP voters and CFP voters on the East Coast. So we have a lot of work to do, but the larger input to football success comes on the campus for sure.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Guys, we've been having success on soda weight loss this entire year. Scott and I started this thing up 34 weeks ago. I'm down 103 pounds in that
34 weeks. And it's because they started with a plan at SOTA, and we've been going through with it. They make that plan for you. It's tailored to you. And just go to their website. SOTA is spelled S-O-T-A, stands for State of the Art. And you can read the 5,000-plus reviews of people who have had the same type of success that we have. It's not, as Scott says, it's not a fad diet. It's something you can start today, and you can start having success.
Yeah, and I've dropped 132 pounds in 34 weeks on SOTA weight loss. And you know, nutrition is such a big key to getting healthy and you know, really losing weight. Mm-hmm. It's about 80% of it. And so SOTA provides a tremendous plan for you to drop those unwanted fat pounds, but also to maintain your weight once you get to that ideal weight. So you really want to go check out SOTAweightLoss.com. There are over 5,000 reviews. Call them on the phone, and you can set up an appointment today. SOTAweightLoss.com.
Do you currently use a CPAP machine to treat sleep apnea? Are you?
World might have. I don't think anyone in this locker room undervalued his presence. On the same token, we lost two winnable games in Indiana and Detroit. Tonight we had no centers. There's no secret. He's the three-time defensive player of the year for a reason. The answer would be no, because we all value him. I would say maybe externally it was looked at a certain way, but we all know that what it is with Rudy. So I would say no, because we know his value, know his worth.
Rudy's been cleared with the league health and safety protocols. Now we'll rejoin the Jazz on Sunday, that game against Denver. Refresh the inside and outside of your home with a five-star experience with five-star painting. They've got the time, skills, and tools. Fivestarpainting.com. That's fivestarpainting.com.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies. Y'all ready? This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Oh, man. You hear that music, Scott? This is a band you and I could both jam on. We don't jam on all the bands together,
but we have some that we
can both show up at the same time and listen to. And of course,
this just happens to be one of
them. This is the long intro of the of Hotel California by the Eagles.
There is a Hotel California, by the way.
I'm sure it's high class. I'm sure that there
aren't
any.
It's in Santa Monica.
Are there a bunch of? I feel like when I was a kid. This song was there was a radio station when I was a kid called The Eagle, and they launched, and you know what they did? They played Hotel California for the first 72 hours of the station.
Just
back
that song?
To back, just Hotel California for 72 hours.
And never played it again, probably.
Well, no, but they did it once a year. They would play it for 24 hours, like to commemorate their anniversary. And I would, and you know what I would do? I would listen. I would listen for like at least 4 or 5 turns in a row on that thing, man. I used to love it. Hey, by the way, the Eagles are your band of the day, brought to you by Live Nation, who's proud to present the Eagles coming right here to Salt Lake City, baby. Hotel California, the 2022 tour on May 25th of this year at Vivint Smart Home Arena. They're going to be performing the entire Hotel California record from beginning to end, along with a lot of their greatest hits. So tickets on sale right now. Go to LiveNation.com. The Eagles are your Live Nation band of the day. Joining us right now on Unrivaled, he is the host of Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio. He's also a BYU insider for us on KSLSports.com. Matt Biamonte joining us on the program. What's going on, Matt?
Not much, guys. Glad it's Friday. The weekend is here. So,
absolutely.
Pretty, the weather's bizarrely warm, isn't it, too?
Dude, the golf course up by me opened. They're taking tee times, man. That's how weird things are right now.
I don't like that.
That's crazy.
We need more snow.
I know. We got to get more snow in these. I love it. Matt, that game last night, BYU versus Gonzaga, that's always a tough game. But, man, 110-84, and it was a good chunk of that second half that Gonzaga was up by 30. This is a really, really good basketball team. Or is BYU not as good as we necessarily thought?
Gonzaga is really good, and call me crazy, guys, but I think
I think BOU fans should be really encouraged by that performance, even though they lost by 26, because Gonzaga did things in this game that they don't typically do, and if they do these things consistently, they will win the NCAA tournament. It's that stuff. They made 70% field goals, and they already were leading the country in field goal percentage just above 52%, and they shattered that. I mean, 70% for a basketball, and they could have beaten half of the NBA yesterday shooting the way that they shot. They're not a good three-point shooting team.
Come on. They may be able to beat a Jazz team without centers. That might be it.
It's like that Gonzaga team. They should have signed 10-day contracts with those with Timmy and Holmgren yesterday.
Just do an NIL deal.
It's a 10-day. Yeah. It's like an internship. Yeah, you pay them a couple grand
NBA
to do an
internship.
My heavens, that's what they
hands on. So BYU is going to go into the Big 12, and this is kind of this rivalry with Gonzaga and BYU in basketball has kind of become a thing. Do you think that BYU continues this? Is it something they'd want to do in the future when BYU is no longer in the West Coast Conference?
They should continue it, because why wouldn't you want to play one of the best programs in the past 20 years on a yearly basis? That would look great on your resume, non-conference. You only get to play them once, but maybe you work out a deal where you're going every other home and home, every other season. So Mark Few talked about this last night, and that he wants it to continue. And I think Coach Pope has made it abundantly clear in his tenure that he wants to play good basketball teams. And it's hard to get good basketball teams to Provo. Well, if you can get Gonzaga to come to the Marriott Center every other year, that's a no-brainer. So look, college basketball is not like college football, where if you play these teams and you lose, it hurts you. Like, that loss against Gonzaga last night, although it looks bad, it does nothing to BYU's chances of making the tournament. They slid one spot on Joe Lunardi's bracketology from an 8 seed to a 9 seed. So you want to play these games, and if you win a handful of them, that's all you need. So, yes, BYU should continue to play this game every single year.
Matt, one of the things I've been curious about with this BYU basketball team is that, you know, the West Coast Conference has been more competitive this year, and we're seeing some teams at the top that are really, really good. What does Mark Pope have to do, though, now? Like, what's the next step for him? Because, you know, Gonzaga is not just like a pretty good team every once in a while. They're now, you know, a national powerhouse. And when I was growing up, they were a Cinderella story. And now they are one of the best recruiting teams in the country. Mark Few has changed that entire program. Is that something that Mark Pope is going to end up doing at BYU, or does he leave before that even ends up happening?
I think he stays. He made some comments in an article earlier this week that, you know, this is just the beginning for BYU basketball, and that they can achieve the highest levels. And I believe him. I think that now that BYU's in the Big 12, basketball-wise, they should be able to recruit higher than they've ever done. And we've already seen indications that that's happening. And you can win at the highest level in the Big 12. The champion of the tournament last year was from the Big 12 in Baylor. So I don't think there's a need for him to go anywhere to do what he wants to do as a coach. And I think coaching has changed so much that you even want to go to a place like Duke or Kentucky, where in their primes, they were great places to coach because you were getting the highest rated recruits and they were staying for 2 or 3 years. Now, a Duke or Kentucky, it's just you're churning people over year after year after year. That's not happening at Gonzaga. It happens to a guy here or there, Jalen Suggs, maybe Chet Holmgren, but it doesn't happen to the whole roster. So I think what Gonzaga's done, it's where you want to be if you're a coach, and if Mark Pope wants to stay at BYU as long as he wants, he can do that. And now that his recruiting's picking up and they've got the power label on a conference in the future, you can do everything you want to do. So I think BYU can absolutely become Gonzaga-like into the future if they can continue to recruit and hit on some of those recruits. But look, you look at that loss and say, wow, the gap is so wide. Look, Gonzaga is better than BYU, but the gap is not as wide as the Mississippi River. And down into the future, as they're recruiting, because there's some recruits in the pipeline, guys, that are on missions that when they join, we're talking 4-star caliber players at the guard position. BYU is going to be just fine. So I think Coach Pope's here for the long haul, and it's the sky's the limit for BYU basketball.
You know, the Mississippi River, actually, at its origins, is small enough you can actually jump over it. So, you know, maybe that.
Oh, look at Scott. Look at Scott bringing, like, a metaphor for life and for your sports team. There you go.
I like that.
That makes it feel a bit better.
All right,
about
so these early, you know, top 25 rankings in football have come out. BYU's shown up in quite a few of them in the top 25. Where do you think this BYU football team ranks going into next season?
I had them in the KSL Sports way too early, top 25. I had them at 19. So I think defensively there are some major question marks there. But offensively, they should be able to score with almost anybody in the country with what they're bringing back. The offensive line may be the best that they've had in 20 years. I mean, they were really good last year, and they bring a lot of those guys back. And then you add Kingsley Sumaatohea on the right side at that tackle position, highly recruited guy. The running back position, is we talked about this last week, but it looks a little more sure. Yeah, losing Algier hurts, but when you have a great line and you have some good run-blocking tight ends, and you got Gunnar Romney coming back. So,
and Jackson Dart. You can't forget Jackson Dart.
I don't know. I don't think Jackson Dart's coming to BYU. So, but if he comes, he's not going to start. Jaron Hall was good enough last season that he's the starter next year.
I thought everyone earned their position every year.
Come on. Come on, Matt. That's what you always preach. Let's go.
When you have the most Power 5 wins of any quarterback in the history of BYU football, I think you did enough to get the starting quarterback job the next season. Jaron Hall was great this year. There's no comp. I don't care who comes in. There's no competition for Jaron Hall's spot next year at the quarterback position. No way.
So you would take Jaron Hall over Jackson Dart if Jackson Dart was at BYU
for next season? Absolutely. What's great about Jackson Dart is a highly recruited guy who has NFL potential. But last season, if you look at the stats and they're playing on the field, Jaron Hall was a better quarterback. So that's an easy question going into next year.
All right. Matt, what do you guys have going on Cougar Sports Saturday tomorrow? I'm assuming you guys are going to – Mitch had BYU ranked a lot lower, I think, than you did in the way too early top 25.
I don't know what Mitch is. Mitch must have – look, they returned so many people. It's just – if you want to talk about having a good year and then rolling over that production to the next year, BYU fits the bills. But as far as Cougar Sports Saturday tomorrow, we have Hans Olsen. He's coming to talk about this way too early – 2022 stuff, so that'll be fun. And then we also have Mark Durant from BYU Basketball Broadcasting. He'll join us to talk about that blowout loss and then the matchup against San Francisco. So a lot of football and basketball talk, as usual, on the program.
All right, Matt Biamonte, Cougar Sports Saturday, KSLSports.com. He's our BYU Insider. We'll talk to you next Friday, buddy.
Sounds good. Have a good weekend, guys. Take care.
Right, there you go. There's old Matt Biamonte. Holding down the fort down there on Cougar Sports Saturday. We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. More to go on the program when we return. We got ourselves all sorts of stuff to get into when it comes to the NFL. Specifically, there are 8 jobs that are now open at the head coaching position. I'm going to ask Scott, out of all these franchises, the ones you want to be at, the ones you want to coach at, and the ones you don't want to be coaching at, you might be surprised by that lineup. We've got more to go here on the program. First, it's a new year. And it's a new you. Davis Vision can help you get rid of those glasses and contacts with LASIK surgery. Schedule your free consultation today. Save $1,000. Get a hold of Robin and set it up. You can get the free consultation, like I said, and take $1,000 off of that eligible LASIK procedure. So 801-253-3080. 801-253-3080 or go to DavisVisionMD.com. Tell them the zone sent you. More to go right here, right around the corner. Some NFL head coaching position talk next on 97.5 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined right now by the Pac-12 Commissioner, George Kliavkov. I'm curious how much of what has gone wrong, what needs to be fixed, can be done by the Pac-12 Commissioner and the conference office, and what percentage is on the schools? What is the balance here? How much of this is on your plate?
It's probably 80-20. Probably 80% of the decisions that lead to football success happen on the campus and not at the conference. But the 20% is an important 20%, right? We have to be better about providing a better platform when we
renegotiated our media rights, and that's related to revenue, it's related to distribution, it's related to competitive advantage, deciding who gets to play at what time of the day, for highlighting for AP voters and CFP voters on the East Coast. So we have a lot of work to do, but the larger input to football success comes on the campus for sure.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Guys, we've been having success on Soda Weight Loss this entire year. Scott and I started this thing up 34 weeks ago. I'm down 103 pounds in that 34 weeks. And it's because they started with a plan at Soda, and we've been going through with it. They make that plan for you. It's tailored to you. And just go to their website. Soda is spelled S-O-T-A, stands for state of the art. And you can read the 5,000-plus reviews of people who've had the same type of success that we have. It's not, as Scott says, it's not a fad diet. It's something you can start today, and you can start having success.
Yeah, and I've dropped 132 pounds in 34 weeks on Soda Weight Loss. And you know, nutrition is such a big key to getting healthy and really losing weight. Mm-hmm. It's about 80% of it. And so Soda provides a tremendous plan for you to drop those unwanted fat pounds, but also to maintain your weight once you get to that ideal weight. So you really want to go check out SodaWeightLoss.com. There are over 5,000 reviews. Call them on the phone, and you can set up an appointment today. SodaWeightLoss.com.
Do you currently use a CPAP machine to treat sleep apnea? Are you...
Attention.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Attention.
With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Yeah, we're just reminiscing about back in the day. When I was a kid and I saw Scott Mitchell on TV on SportsCenter, I watched SportsCenter like it was cartoons when I was a kid. I didn't watch cartoons. I watched SportsCenter. And so I would watch this thing. And when I saw Scott Mitchell got this big old contract in free agency, the funny thing is now we look at a contract like that and we go, that's embarrassing. That's not – but back then people were like, what? They pay a guy that? Nowadays, backups are getting – three times what you were getting paid. I mean, not to rub salt in the old wounds there, but you got.
What is it you're trying to rub?
I'm just trying to say that people give you a hard time because they're like, yo, you got this big old contract. It was like, imagine where we are now and when people hassled you about that contract back then.
I could care less about people hassling. It's like, for 4 years, I mean, I sat there and I didn't sit there. That's the thing. It's like I worked my butt off.
Yeah.
I mean, my whole life I did. It's like I didn't luck into something. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake.
Oh,
it's
you don't have to explain yourself. Yeah, what I'm saying is now it's ridiculous because you look at what
–
if you were playing
come
now –
come on our show and go, what? They gave that guy? He gave him 11 and a half million. I watched SportsCenter like I was breathing.
When I
like,
was a 13-year-old.
Yeah, they did.
Because when you were 13 –
I earned every freaking cent of it.
Oh, boy. Here comes Grumpy Mitchell.
In fact,
now.
You know what? I was underpaid.
But that's what I'm saying is now we look at it and go, if a guy was a starting quarterback in the NFL and not getting paid – at least $15 million a year. Now we go, what's his problem?
I told you already, I hate my parents. They borned me too soon. They borned me way too soon.
That sounds like something a Spanish Fort it's Springville just, kid would
well,
say.
Like, I'm from there. That's the way I'm supposed to speak. I can't help it.
They're like, well, where's he out of? Well, that's his that mare's his mom. That stallion over his dad. They borned him a little bit too early.
Yeah, the money's just staggering.
To think of, and you said it exactly when this happened.
Patrick Mahomes.
With Patrick Mahomes.
I go, he's going to be underpaid in just a short period of time.
And people look at it and go, yeah, I guess $48.5 million a year, that's pretty good. Except for the fact that you're going to see the next guy get $650 million for 10 years. Yeah. And Rudy Gobert, I think the last year of his contract, I think he's over $60 million the last year that he's going to be here with the Jets. That's where we've gotten with these salaries. Yeah.
So when people look back now and go,
that's why they have to play when COVID's going on,
right?
It's like, sorry, we got to charge you full price.
We got
to. We're going to get 10-day contract guys yeah. here, and you know that $2,100.
Hey, you want to come see a game during COVID? Yeah. It's actually going to cost you more. Yeah. You got to pay double to come see
because it's such a unique experience. It's like it's so nothing fun. You'll ever see again.
Oh my goodness. I wanted to bring this up. We just have a couple. We only have like a minute here. Now, let's just get to Tom. You know what? Bag it. We're going to talk about the coaches next hour.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm going to talk about the coaches next hour because I want to make sure we give enough time to it. And plus, I had an argument with somebody today about what a blowout means in sports. We'll talk about that too. But first, Tom Curl, the owner and proprietor of The Warehouse. We've been doing shows at The Warehouse forever. And boy, the deals just keep going. And Tom just keeps going. And so we're always glad to see you when we come.
He said he's not even leaving. He's just right here.
He said he's just going to stay right here.
Stay right here.
Scott,
talk to
I'm
him.
Not going
to
let him give you any crap. That was no. – that was
I know what he tries to do.
He's just jealous.
Of course I am. Every one of us that complain about how much athletes get paid, it's 100% based in jealousy. It has nothing to do with – well, you can't do – that's too much money. Do you know how much you could buy for – no, it has nothing to do with that. It's that you have it and I don't, and I'm mad about it. That's what 13-year-old me thought.
How much did Zach Wilson get?
What – guaranteed.
It's $22 million.
Guaranteed. $22
million. Signing bonus.
Guaranteed, yes.
Signing bonus.
Yeah, yeah.
How many games did you win your first year as a starter?
My first year as a
starter?
As a starter.
When you came in for Dan Marino, you went like 6-1, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're worth three times that.
Yep, there you go.
No,
he won.
Can you get back pay
today?
How many games did he win?
If I was to go out,
he's only won two. So
won two.
If I was to go out today and have happen what happened to me then,
and I'm not taking anything away from Zach.
It is what it is. I would have in today's dollars. I would have signed a 3-year, probably $99 million contract.
That's insane.
That's what would have happened.
With a Kirk Cousins type deal. That's exactly what happened.
What it would be.
Well, I'm glad you're still my hero.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Serious.
Well, listen.
I'm still waiting for my signed jersey, but you're still my hero.
Oh, that's easy, though. That's easy.
You want me to personalize it or just sign it?
I'm not. Hey.
TK,
my life is fragile.
Oh.
Everyone's life is fragile.
I went to the doctor last Tuesday. Because my therapist noticed something, and they did x-rays. I have a brand new double pneumonia.
Wow.
Mm.
Don't act like that's a new car, Tom. That's not a good thing. A brand new double pneumonia is not what somebody asked for Christmas.
You want to know the scary part about
it? What is it?
I don't feel worse today than I did 2 weeks ago because I have pain with every breath.
Wow. That's the reality you live in. Yeah.
I'm waiting for a lung transplant.
Listen.
What can I say?
In the meantime,
let's talk about less serious things.
Yeah, let's talk about some. Let's do some business.
We want to save you some serious money.
How are you going to do it for us today?
You're sitting on a perfect example: power with USBs to charge your phone on each side.
Mm-hmm.
Double reclining sofa. Down the street, it's $4,200. They put it on sale for $3,099. Our boom price is $1,929.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. Be right here.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. We're hanging out here at The Warehouse today, 1825 South, 300 West. It's so good to see Scott Mitchell's shining face in person.
Is my face shining?
It's not shiny, it's shining. Like, you got an aura about you.
About me?
Yeah. Like, I'm COVID glow.
I'm feeling glovy.
Glovy?
<Yeah. laughs>
I'm gloviated. Yeah. I'm gloviating a little bit right now.
I feel glovy.
That's fine. That's fine. Come down, hang out with us. Got another little bit here. We're going to be at The Warehouse. So I want to bring something up here, Scott. We're going to start off the hour here. I'm going to call a little bit of an audible. You know what that is?
Yeah.
That's what you used to do. Just give me like one of your audible calls. I want to hear one of your audible calls.
Well, so you...
you go set.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you go.
Kill.
No, no, no. You call a color.
Oh.
With a number. Blue 85.
Right. It means nothing?
Blue 85.
Does it mean anything?
No.
Okay.
Well, the colors mean things.
What does the color mean?
So if you called the color black or white, any time you called black or white, that changed the play.
Okay.
So it wasn't just one. So it was. So if you go black 81, black 80, and you kind of have to say it with like,
hello, I'm looking at you.
I'm calling
hello.
The magic color.
Yes,
here.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's, I love that.
And so 81 was what the play would be. And that might mean the protection for the line.
Matt Ryan the other day.
But then you can give hand signals to guys and just kind of.
So Matt Ryan
the
other day.
So like touching your face mask.
Oh, really?
Oh, and.
You did the whole thing,
it's like the third base coach.
Yeah.
So the indicator is the color.
Okay. And then you move with the hands and stuff. And so you know who's looking at you maybe after that. Were there guys who were like, I don't even know what you're saying?
Well, sometimes guys would miss it. They just kind of zoned it. And what happens, snap count is the worst thing in the world in sports. That's why they all go silent count now, so they just don't have to remember to snap count. Because you call the play in the huddle, and then you go, it's on two. And so you're walking to the line of scrimmage, and now you're going in your mind, okay, what's my assignment on this play? What am I supposed to do on this play? And then you're going through your assignment, and then you're like, shoot, I forgot the snap count. What's the snap count on? So I was constantly reminding everybody.
I love this stuff.
Of the snap.
See, I love this stuff. Yeah. Well, let's start the show off. We've got a lot to talk about here. I've got these coaching availabilities in the NFL that are ready. I want to see what Scott will do ranking-wise for us. Plus, we'll look at what some of these games are going to end up. You'll get the definitive answer on how these games are going to end. Scott's going to give his predictions. I'll give mine. That's where we're going to start things off here, as we always do at the top of every hour with the cut. Let's do it.
The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
Oh, my goodness. The cut this hour brought to you by. Hey, it's just a fun one here. This is a fun one for me. It's brought to you by the Ford Fan Zone. I haven't done this yet, and I'd get in a lot of trouble here. Purchase a Ford Fan Zone all-you-can-eat ticket for the upcoming Jazz game. Receive an unlimited hot dog, soda, popcorn, nachos, and ice cream. What? Starting as low as $30 a ticket. Visit UtahJazz.com or just call 325-2999. That's 325-2999 for your Ford Fan Zone all-you-can-eat tickets today. First up, Scott, I'm just going to go through the list of jobs that you've got here in the NFL in front of us. Because David Culley now out of Houston. I thought that was – listen, I'm going to be honest. I thought they were going to go 0-17.
Right.
They looked like the worst team in the entire league at one point.
Right.
Jacksonville ended up being that team. They go – what did they go? 4-13. And in my mind, that was a big win for them, especially considering all the garbage that they've gone through. David Culley gets let go. And so now you've got the Las Vegas Raiders job has a head coach opening. Vic Fangio's out in Denver, of course. And so you've got the Broncos, Dolphins, Bears, Vikings, Giants, Jaguars, and the Houston Texans opening now. So, Scott, off of that list immediately, previous biases aside, what is the best place to get a head coaching job right now in the NFL?
So the one with probably the most ability is the New York Giants.
Most ability?
Stability.
Oh, stability.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? They just fired Joe Judge after 2 years.
I know. Well, yeah, because they look, the Giants are an organization that they're
And they
about,
had McAdoo. They had Wackadoo McAdoo before that.
They've hired some weird coaches. I'm not going to lie to you. It's just like, I don't know what they're doing. But the Mara family is pretty good. So my choice really, and this might surprise you, Denver and New York are kind of 1A for me. I mean, Denver's been to, what, 6 Super Bowls? The Giants have been to a lot of Super Bowls. These are pretty stable organizations, great fan bases. The Broncos have just really – the issues with the Broncos have been kind of a lack of leadership in the ownership, and that's been resolved. Now, a new ownership doesn't necessarily mean things could be better. I mean, you look at the Miami Dolphins, and they've changed ownership, and they're just an absolute hot mess.
Dolphins haven't been to the Super Bowl since 1984. But I think the Broncos and the Giants, and I'll tell you what, I think Las Vegas is in a bad spot.
Well, Vegas is winning. They're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you, so what you've got
it's not
here.
Not all bad.
So you have a guy losing his job the way that John Gruden did, and you're not talking about necessarily the team being just an absolute mess or a coach being an
it's
absolute.
It's not because they're terrible.
Right. Yes. It's because of the circumstances around it.
Yeah.
I don't think I would want to coach in Las Vegas. I mean, you've seen right now.
I actually do.
Think about it. They've got like they had the Henry Ruggs issue this year.
Yeah.
They had a player 2 weeks after that also get hit with a DUI allegation. There is always a mess going on with what we've seen so far. Is Las Vegas is hard to get away from.
I just know that there's a lot of players that would love to play in Las Vegas.
So you'd be able to get them there.
Yes. Yes.
Could you get them back professional though?
Hopefully on Sunday.
That's all that matters to you. Scott Mitchell's like, I'm here to win,
look,
baby.
I mean, you're what not you there do to in your own time at the in the pros.
What you do to your own time?
So
your own time's your own business, man.
I like.
What's the worst job in that group? Does anything stand out? Because you're talking about some of these places. Like, oh, it'd be kind of nice to coach in that place. Or I know you love the Dolphins organization because you were there and it was a good organization while you were there. But that's also a team that's 9-8. And is already kind of set up, and they've got some pretty good talent there.
That's not a bad place. I mean, that's probably of the places to win now. You're probably Las Vegas, Miami, maybe Minnesota, maybe Denver next.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Jacksonville is not – Jacksonville is –
it's terrible.
Well –
but the owners – Ashad Khan has just showed his hand that he's not stable. That ownership's not good. The GM's a problem.
I mean, you've got Houston and Jacksonville probably are similar. But the Dolphins' job wouldn't be all that bad. I think, actually, I'm looking at this. You're looking at this in a different light. You're looking at who could possibly win right now, and I'm looking for organization.
You're looking for the long – but, see, again, the Jaguars are not a good organization. The Dolphins are a pretty good organization.
No, I didn't say they were good. I didn't say that the organization was good. I just said you got a few pieces in the puzzle to work with there at Jacksonville.
Okay, worst place. Worst gig to have.
Houston.
Then. It'd be Houston.
Yeah. And I don't know that Chicago would be far behind.
Really?
I just Chicago just can never seem to get out of its way. I mean, Miami's kind of the same type of thing. I mean, these are organizations today that are just kind of floundering. Minnesota, you know, you look at all these teams right here and you go, yeah, I can see why they all kind of stink because they – that just the organizations are kind of lame. They're just not very good.
Here's the deal. I've got a little something to roll out here. I'm just going to roll out some of these games, and you just give me first blush with the NFL schedule set up the way that it is, and what the games are that are going to be this weekend. Give me an idea here on some of these, because now let's just start from the time order they're going to go in here. Wild card round, Saturday. First game of the playoffs, Raiders-Bengals. Raiders at Bengals. Scott Mitchell we're going to go rapid fire here.
Bengals.
What do we got going on? Okay. Why?
Are you asking me who's going to win?
Yeah.
Home game, probably really cold. Las Vegas is kind of a warm weather team now.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make a
difference? Because the Raiders
– I actually think Cincinnati's a better team.
Okay. Well, I mean, they beat him earlier this year, too. By double digits.
Mm-hmm.
Next game on Saturday, that evening Saturday game, is going to be Patriots at Bills. That's supposed to be one of the coldest playoff games on record, Scott, up there in Buffalo.
You know, don't count out Bill Belichick, but I think Buffalo's a team that's built for the playoffs. Josh Allen's one of those players that kind of shows up in the bigger moments. The bigger the moment, the bigger he shows up. I think Buffalo will win that game.
I'm going to go with the Patriots. I agree with you on the Bengals. I'm going to go with the Patriots on that one just because I think Bill Belichick, I think the Bills can't get out of their own way. I think the Bills in the playoffs against a team like the Patriots, if they were playing the Bengals, maybe they'd beat them. But because it's a team that is always in
Mac
their craw.
Jones doesn't have a strong arm and
oh, wow.
A rookie quarterback playing in the playoffs first time.
Okay. Okay. And the NFC wild card rounds, now we'll get to for the Sunday games. Eagles at Buccaneers.
I'm going to take the Bucks, but I wouldn't be surprised if I'll take the Bucks.
Yeah, don't talk yourself into it. I don't think that the Eagles are a playoff team. I think they barely got there. I think they kind of.
I think they're the Pittsburgh Steelers of the.
No, I don't know if they're the absolute worst, but they're
the
pretty
14th
close.
Seeded team.
No, we're not a very good football team. Ben Roethlisberger, we're not a very good football team. I'm gonna go with the Buccaneers as well. They're gonna win at least one game. The Bucks. 49ers at the Cowboys. This is an old school early 90s matchup from the playoffs that we used to watch when I was a kid. They're going to Jerry World, and the 49ers needed some help in that they snuck into the playoffs with that win over the Rams that final Sunday.
I'll take upset here, and I'll take the 49ers.
Okay. I'm not over it. I mean, I don't think it's crazy. A team like the 49ers, they have nothing to lose. Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know what version of him you're going to get. But what you are going to get is, this Cowboys team who's wildly inconsistent. So who knows what they're going to do. Steelers-Chiefs on Sunday night.
The Steelers are going to lose.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
They're 20-point underdogs. They're the worst football team in these playoffs.
Well, if you're taking the points, I'd take the Steelers. But if you're taking the who's actually going to win the game.
The Chiefs are not going to lose a game until the Super Bowl. And then finally, your Monday night game. That Cardinals at the Rams. This has got every one of these games, by the way, has intrigue.
I'm going to say the Cardinals are going to win.
Okay.
And I picked the Rams to go to the Super Bowl.
I mean,
the beginning of the year.
Do you think any of these games are going to be a blowout?
When the Rams are getting Eric Weddle, who's 37 years old and having to play late in the year, you wonder how much confidence they have.
You know what's sad in defense. My mind? Eric Weddle is like an old football player. You know. But I'm 4 years older than Eric Weddle. Like, everyone's all, look at this old man over here.
That's why it's easy for me to watch the NFL now, because I know I can't play.
It's just like, I am 4 years older than this guy that they're saying is so far over the hill. Now, I've always got Tom Brady. As long as Tom Brady's in the league, and I go, Tom Brady's 3 years older than me, man. I got this. Yeah, I'm basically like Tom
Brady's
Brady.
Tom Brady's not that much younger than me.
Tom Brady is I'm basically Tom Brady in terms of age and just where I am in my life, and my wife is Giselle. That's what I tell my wife, too. I go, I'm Tom Brady, you're Giselle. Boom. You got it.
Yeah. You're making fun of me because SpongeBob came to me in a dream and terrorized me.
Get that drop. SpongeBob came to me in my dreams and terrorized me. Oh, my gosh. This is ridiculous, dude.
Dream.
So if you were to look at it and you were to just take a quick glance at what the AFC and NFC championship
is. Green Bay has a bye.
Green Bay's got the bye, and so do the AFC number one seed. Jeremy, you got to help me out here. The dadgum Titans. Boy, that's a team that turned it around, didn't they?
Yeah.
Without their MVP. My heavens. But that's a team that I don't feel like is going to go very far either in the playoffs. That's one of those, like the Cowboys, remember when they had the number one seed? The Packers came into town, beat them after that on that first go around there. See, the Cowboys have learned maybe something from that lesson. But, if you thought 49ers fans traveled to SoFi Stadium, Cowboys Stadium is going to be chock full of the old red and gold. They travel big time to Dallas. I've seen it with my own eyes. Okay, Scott. I had something come up last night, and it was or today. Sam Farnsworth from KSL5 Television tweeted something out. He said, look, because BYU fans were a little bit up in arms that Mark Few kept some starters in the game. And so when we come back, and they were bummed, like, hey, man, you're up by 30, you keep your starters in? Take your foot off the gas. It's not classy to throw that Hail Mary, at the end of the game when you're up two touchdowns or whatever. And Sam had a thought on blowouts that I sort of agree with, and I want to roll it out to you next because I want to get your feeling on this in this type of stuff.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. The Zone Sports Network, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. We're hanging out here at the warehouse today, 1825 South, 300 West. It's so good to see Scott Mitchell's shining face in person.
Is my face shining?
It's not shiny. It's shining. Like, you got an aura
about
you.
Glow about me?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm COVID glow.
I'm feeling glovy.
Glovy?
<Yeah. laughs>
I'm gloviated. Yeah. I'm gloviating a little bit right now.
I feel glovy.
That's fine. That's fine. Come down, hang out with us. Got another little bit here. We're going to be at the warehouse. So I want to bring something up here, Scott. We're going to start off the hour here. I'm going to call a little bit of an audible. You know what that is?
Yeah.
That's what you used to do. Just give me like one of your audible calls. I want to hear one of your audible calls.
Well, so you go set.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you go.
Kill.
No. You call a color.
Oh.
With okay. A number. Blue 85.
Right. It means nothing?
Blue 85.
Does it mean anything?
No.
Okay.
Well, the colors mean things.
What does the color mean?
So if you called the color black or white, any time you called black or white, that changed the play.
Okay.
So it wasn't just one. So it was. So if you go black 81, black 80, and you kind of have to say it with like,
hello, I'm looking at you.
I'm calling
hello.
The magic color.
Yes,
here.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's, I love that.
And so 81 was what the play would be. And that might mean the protection for the line.
Matt Ryan the other day.
But then you can give hand signals to guys and just kind of.
So Matt Ryan
the other
day.
Touching your face mask.
Oh, really?
Oh, and.
You did the whole thing,
it's like the third base coach.
Yeah.
So the indicator is the color.
Okay. And then you move with the hands and stuff. And so you know who's looking at you maybe after that. Were there guys who were like, I don't even know what you're saying?
Well, sometimes guys would miss it. They just kind of zoned it. And what happens, again, snap count is the worst thing in the world in sports. That's why they all go silent count now, so they just don't have to remember the snap count. Because you call the play in the huddle, and then you go, it's on two. And so you're walking to the line of scrimmage, and now you're going in your mind, okay, what's my assignment on this play? What am I supposed to do on this play? And then you're going through your assignment, and then you're like, shoot, I forgot the snap count. What's the snap count on? So I was constantly reminding everybody.
I love this stuff.
Of the snap.
See, I love this stuff. Yeah. Well, let's start the show off. We've got a lot to talk about here. I've got these coaching availabilities in the NFL that are ready. And I want to see what Scott will do ranking-wise for us. Plus, we'll look at what some of these games are going to end up. You'll get the definitive answer on how these games are going to end. Scott's going to give his predictions. I'll give mine. That's where we're going to start things off here, as we always do at the top of every hour with the cut. Let's do it.
The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it. Oh, my goodness. The cut this hour brought to you by. Hey, it's a fun one here. This is a fun one for me. It's brought to you by the Ford Fan Zone. I haven't done this yet, and I'd get in a lot of trouble here. Purchase a Ford Fan Zone all-you-can-eat ticket for the upcoming Jazz game. Receive an unlimited hot dog, soda, popcorn, nachos, and ice cream. What? Starting as low as $30 a ticket. Visit UtahJazz.com or just call 325-2999. That's 325-2999 for your Ford Fan Zone all-you-can-eat tickets today. First up, Scott, I'm just going to go through the list of jobs that you've got here in the NFL in front of us. Because David Culley now out of Houston. I thought that was – listen, I'm going to be honest. I thought they were going to go 0-17.
Right.
They looked like the worst team in the entire league at one point.
Right.
Jacksonville ended up being that team. They go – what did they go? 4-13. And in my mind, that was a big win for them, especially considering all the garbage that they've gone through. David Culley gets let go. And so now you've got the Las Vegas Raiders job has a head coach opening. Vic Fangio's out in Denver, of course. And so you've got the Broncos, Dolphins, Bears, Vikings, Giants, Jaguars, and the Houston Texans opening now. So, Scott, off of that list immediately, previous biases aside, what is the best place to get a head coaching job right now in the NFL?
So the one with probably the most ability is the New York Giants.
Most ability?
Stability.
Oh, stability.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? They just fired Joe Judge after 2 years.
I know. Well, yeah, because they look, the Giants are an organization that they're
And they
about,
had McAdoo. They had Wackadoo McAdoo before that.
They've hired some weird coaches. I'm not going to lie to you. It's just like, I don't know what they're doing. But the Mara family is pretty good. So my choice really, and this might surprise you, Denver and New York are kind of 1A for me. I mean, Denver's been to, what, 6 Super Bowls? The Giants have been to a lot of Super Bowls. These are pretty stable organizations, great fan bases. The Broncos have just really – the issues with the Broncos have been kind of a lack of leadership in the ownership, and that's been resolved. Now, a new ownership doesn't necessarily mean things could be better. I mean, you look at the Miami Dolphins, and they've changed ownership, and they're just an absolute hot mess. Dolphins haven't been to the Super Bowl since 1984. But I think the Broncos and the Giants, and I'll tell you what, I think Las Vegas is in a bad spot.
Well, Vegas is winning. They're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you, so what you've got
it's
here.
It's not all bad.
So you have a guy losing his job the way that John Gruden did, and you're not talking about necessarily the team being just an absolute mess or a coach being an
it's
absolute.
It's not because they're terrible.
Right. Yes. It's because of the circumstances around it.
Yeah.
I don't think I would want to coach in Las Vegas. I mean, you've seen right now.
I actually do.
Think about it. They've got like they had the Henry Ruggs issue this year. Yeah. They had a player 2 weeks after that also get hit with a DUI allegation. There is always a mess going on with what we've seen so far. Is Las Vegas is hard to get away from.
I just know that there's a lot of players that would love to play in Las Vegas.
So you'd be able to get them there.
Yes. Yes.
Could you get them back professional though?
Hopefully on Sunday.
That's all that matters to you. Scott Mitchell's like, I'm here to win,
look,
baby.
I mean, you're what not you there do to in your own time at the in the pros.
What you do to your own time?
So
your own time's your own business, man.
I like.
What's the worst job in that group?
I almost,
like. Does anything stand out? Because you're talking about some of these places. Like, it'd be kind of nice to coach in that place. Or I know you love the Dolphins organization because you were there and it was a good organization while you were there. But that's also a team that's what 9-8. And is already kind of set up, and they've got some pretty good talent there.
That's not a bad place. I mean, that's probably of the places to win now. You're probably Las Vegas, Miami, maybe Minnesota, maybe Denver next.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Jacksonville is –
That's terrible.
Well – but
the owners – Ashad Khan has just showed his hand that he's not stable. That ownership's not good. The GM's a problem.
I mean, you've got Houston and Jacksonville probably are similar. But the Dolphins' job wouldn't be all that bad. I think, actually, I'm looking at this. You're looking at this in a different light. You're looking at who could possibly win right now. And I'm looking for organization.
You're looking for the long. But, see, again, the Jaguars not a good organization. The Dolphins are a pretty good organization.
No, I didn't say they were good. I didn't say that the organization was good. I just said you got a few pieces in the puzzle to work with there in Jacksonville.
Okay, worst place. Worst gig to have.
Houston.
It'd be Houston.
Yeah. And I don't know that Chicago would be far behind.
Really?
Chicago just can never seem to get out of its way. I mean, Miami's kind of the same type of thing. I mean, these are organizations today that are just kind of floundering. Minnesota, you know, you look at all these teams right here and you go, yeah, I can see why they all kind of stink because they – that just the organizations are kind of lame. They're just not very good.
Here's the deal. I've got a little something to roll out here. I'm just going to roll out some of these games, and you just give me first blush with the NFL schedule set up the way that it is, and what the games are that are going to be this weekend. Give me an idea here on some of these, because now let's just start from the time order they're going to go in here. Wild card round, Saturday. First game of the playoffs, Raiders-Bengals. Raiders at Bengals. Scott Mitchell we're going to go rapid fire here.
Bengals.
What do we got going on? Okay. Why?
Are you asking me who's going to win?
Yeah.
Home game, probably really cold. Las Vegas is kind of a warm weather team now.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make
a difference? Because the Raiders
– I actually think Cincinnati's a better team.
Okay. Well, I mean, they beat them earlier this year, too. By double digits.
Mm-hmm.
Next game on Saturday, that evening Saturday game, is going to be Patriots at Bills.
That's supposed to be the one of the coldest playoff games on record, Scott, up there in Buffalo.
You know, don't count out Bill Belichick, but I think Buffalo's a team that's built for the playoffs. Josh Allen's one of those players that kind of shows up in the bigger moments. The bigger the moment, the bigger he shows up. I think Buffalo will win that game.
I'm going to go with the Patriots. I agree with you on the Bengals. I'm going to go with the Patriots on that one just because I think Bill Belichick, I think the Bills can't get out of their own way. I think the Bills in the playoffs against a team like the Patriots, if they were playing the Bengals, maybe they'd beat them. But because it's a team that is always in
Mac
their craw.
Jones doesn't
man.
Have a strong arm. And
oh, wow.
A rookie quarterback playing in the playoffs first time.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. The NFC wild card rounds, now we'll get to for the Sunday games. Eagles at Buccaneers.
I'm going to take the Bucs, but I wouldn't be surprised if – no, I'll take the Bucs.
Yeah, don't talk yourself into it. I don't think that the Eagles are a playoff team. I think they barely got there. I think they kind of
– I think they're the Pittsburgh Steelers of the, of the NFC.
No, I don't know if they're the absolute worst,
you know,
but they're pretty close.
We're the 14th seeded team.
You know, we're not a very good football team. Ben Roethlisberger, we're not a very good football team. I'm going to go with the Buccaneers as well. They're going to win at least one game, the Bucs. 49ers at the Cowboys. This is an old school early 90s matchup from the playoffs that we used to watch when I was a kid. They're going to Jerry World, and the 49ers needed some help in that they snuck into the playoffs with that win over the Rams that final Sunday.
I'll take upset here and I'll take the 49ers.
Okay. I'm not over it. I mean, I don't think it's crazy. A team like the 49ers, they have nothing to lose. Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know what version of him you're going to get. But what you are going to get is, you know, this Cowboys team who's wildly inconsistent. So who knows what they're going to do. Steelers-Chiefs on Sunday night.
The Steelers are going to lose.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
They're 20-point underdogs. They're the worst football team in these playoffs.
Well, if you're taking the points, I'd take the Steelers. But if you're taking the who's actually going to win the game.
The Chiefs are not going to lose a game until the Super Bowl. And then finally, your Monday night game. That Cardinals at the Rams. This has got every one of these games, by the way, has intrigue.
I'm going to say the Cardinals are going to win.
Okay.
And I picked the Rams to go to the Super Bowl.
I mean,
at the beginning of the year.
Do you think any of these games are going to be a blowout?
When the Rams are getting Eric Weddle, who's 37 years old and having to play late in the year, you wonder how much confidence they have.
You know what's sad in my mind? Eric Weddle is like an old football player, you know? But I'm 4 years older than Eric Weddle. Like, everyone's all, look at this old man over here.
That's why it's easy for me to watch the NFL now, because I know I can't play.
It's just like, I am 4 years older than this guy that they're saying is so far over the hill. Now, I've always got Tom Brady. As long as Tom Brady's in the league and I go, Tom Brady's 3 years older than me, man. I got this. Yeah, I'm basically like Tom
Brady's
Brady.
Tom Brady's not that much younger than me.
Tom Brady is I'm basically Tom Brady in terms of age and just where I am in my life, and my wife is Giselle. That's what I tell my wife, too. I go, I'm Tom Brady, you're Giselle. Boom. You got it.
Yeah. You're making fun of me because SpongeBob came to me in a dream and terrorized me.
Get that drop. SpongeBob came to me in my dreams and terrorized me. Oh, my gosh. This is ridiculous, dude. So if you were to look at it and you were to just take a quick glance at what the AFC and NFC championship
Green Bay has a bye.
Green Bay's got the bye, and so do the AFC number one seed. The Jeremy, got to help me out here. The Dadgum Titans. Yeah. Boy, that's a team that turned it around, didn't they?
Yeah.
Without their MVP, my heavens. That's a team that I don't feel like is going to go very far either in the playoffs. That's one of those, like the Cowboys. Remember when they had the number one seed? The Packers came into town, beat them after that on that first go around there. See, the Cowboys have learned maybe something from that lesson. But if you thought 49ers fans traveled to SoFi Stadium, Cowboys Stadium is going to be chock full of the old red and gold. They travel big time to Dallas. I've seen it with my own eyes. Okay, Scott. I had something come up last night, and it was or today. Sam Farnsworth from KSL5 Television tweeted something out. He said, look, because BYU fans were a little bit up in arms that Mark Few kept some starters in the game.
And so when we come back, and they were bummed, like, hey, man, you're up by 30. You keep your starters in. Take your foot off the gas. It's not classy to throw that that Hail Mary, you know, at the end of the game when you're up two touchdowns or whatever. And Sam had a thought on blowouts that I sort of agree with. And I want to roll it out to you next because I want to get your feeling on this in this type of stuff.
Here we go.
Go get it. Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback.
Go, I said.
And the other guy on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, look. Yeah, we might both be wearing sunglasses inside, even though the sun's going down here in Salt Lake City. Scott put on some sunglasses. I had to do the same. Trying to look cool. No problem. No problem trying to look cool. That's a Scott's deal. Scott looks cool all the time. He's got the hair. Scott looks like he's like coming out of a surfing catalog every time, and then you throw the Ray-Bans on, boom.
I'm actually going to go to California and go surfing this summer.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. I have a buddy who's he's invited me down there.
Soda Weight Loss has done some wild stuff for you, man. Yeah. Yeah, take some pictures. I'm still not beach-worthy, though, you know? Oh, I'm beach-worthy, but for all the wrong reasons.
Did you say beached or beach-worthy?
Will you stop? See what I'm saying? This is what I don't want. This is the kind of stuff I don't like working with Scott for, okay? I want to bring up, before we get into the NFL roundup here, because we just went through a lot of these games. Before we get to that, I saw this tweet from Sam Farnsworth, and he said, BYU fans are kind of getting upset at Mark Few for running it up on them. Where really, it's not that he ran it up as much as he kept his starters in when they were up 30 with a couple minutes left in the game last night.
Right.
And BYU ended up losing 110-84. And people were going, hey, real classy, Mark Few. Real classy, man. You already beat us, bro. And Sam said, look, my feeling on blowouts is there is no such thing as a blowout in sports. Like, there's no such thing as, like, poor sportsmanship because we ran the score up, so to speak. And like, how about this? Don't be down by 30. And I agree with that to an extent, right? Where I go, yeah, look, of course not. But there are a couple sports there are a couple exceptions to this, because I was noticing that one of the sports that has the biggest blowout ratio, I feel like happens is in women's basketball. Women's basketball. The disparity on the haves and the have-nots is very, very it's very palpable. And in high school girls basketball, you'll periodically get the score that I looked up from this last December, which was there was a team that beat there or no this is a college game. There was a team that beat another women's team. It was 138-14. Okay, so when you win 138-14. I feel like we've probably done a poor job of scheduling. We've probably
done a poor job of recruiting.
done a poor job of coaching. Yes. Yeah. So all the poor things. But people go after the coaches who win games that big. And, you know, I always love to bring up my favorite college football score of all time, which is when Georgia Tech beat Cumberland back in 1916, 222-0. That's always one of my favorite scores to bring up of all time when you talk about blowing somebody out.
So when you talk about sportsmanship,
yes,
and blowing people out,
yes,
I just have to refer to Uncle Lavelle. Like, he was not afraid at BYU to put 70 on you.
Right.
And he didn't feel like it was running the score.
You could run out. You could score 80 on UTEP and still be a part of the honor code.
Yeah.
That's the deal, right? What the fetch happened this year, says Tom. What are you talking about? Like, the blowouts aren't real. Like, I get it. If it's poor sportsmanship, in what instances is it poor sportsmanship? Like, is it when the game is in hand in football, there's kind of the unspoken rule? You and I don't like unspoken rules in baseball, for example.
Right.
They're garbage unspoken rules. Like, don't throw a pitch at somebody. You have to throw a pitch after somebody.
You have to have respect for the game. And everyone talks about you can't let off. You can't assume that things are over. You know, you don't stop playing until the final gun, the whole thing, because – you know, teams can come back. I mean, basketball teams have the ability to score a lot of points quickly. Football is not a whole lot different. I mean, the rules have changed in football where defensively you can't maul players. So there's the potential of people coming back, and you just have to play with a mindset because it's very easy to have a team come back on you. But when you were saying, I never thought of it this way, and that is, you know, if you're on the receiving end of this, like, if you're in a league or you're competing and they keep score and they have a champion at the end of the year, then you should field a competitive team.
Right.
And if you don't have a competitive team, then you really have no argument.
There's not really, and there's not a moment where an NFL team.
The Jazz, when they're underhand, you know, they're
outmanned, shorthanded,
they're
yeah.
shorthanded, all that stuff. They're underhanded. that's when it really, you know, well, maybe you have a little bit. I don't know that you know, look, you're out there to compete. You're not out there for a charity contest or anything. And I don't think it's a, you're saying, don't try hard, you know, because trying your best, giving your best effort for the whole entire time you're playing the game is poor sportsmanship. That is BS. I think it's BS. Now, if you're trying to.
Well, in the NFL, there's no such thing as running it up. It's like these are professionals.
Right.
And they just play, and there's no version of them going, well, we wanted to take it easy and put the fourth stringers in. This is not a version of
that. Why you'd want to shut things down is to conserve your guys for the next week
yes.
and throughout
yeah,
the
yeah,
season.
Yeah.
But not to save
the feelings of another set of professionals.
No, it's grandstanding. It's like rubbing it in their nose kind of thing. But if you're playing within the rules and playing hard, you know, you shouldn't have to apologize.
And most coaches are like, nah, man, we got beat big time. That's it. You know, that's the end of it.
Yeah.
So in my mind, there's a little bit of that where I go.
I actually like that comment from Sam. I appreciate that.
Yeah, look, just what was it? It was, hey, I've got an idea. Don't be down by 30.
Right.
You know, that sounds – but it happens, right? I mean, this happens all the time. And there will be games like that. I mean, I watched the Cowboys beat the Washington football team. What was it, 56-14?
Yeah.
56-21 or something like that, 56-14. And I'm going, you don't see games like that much in the NFL. Because there's a lot tighter competition, but every once in a while when you have a blowout like that, the teams are not going, dude, why would you run it up like that?
If
the coaches aren't coming across the field. They're mad about it because you don't like to get your butt handed to you. It's embarrassing, but you know what you'll never do is go, I just thought that was low class when they scored all those points on us.
So what, you know, what's more disappointing is that you get down in a game and guys quit.
Yeah.
And then they make it worse, and it's like, should you quit in that situation? It's like, no. Like you should still be putting forth effort, even though your team's struggling or whatever's happening. So, if you're on the losing end of it, don't be a loser in a losing cause. You know, play hard, play through the end of the game. Don't quit. Don't give up, regardless of how much you're down in a game.
That's
more offensive to me than the other side of it.
Yeah, yeah. The part where you're embarrassing yourself is. I mean, it's wild to me because I'm like, well, who's the one that's in the wrong here? There's the high school girls basketball coach who, beats a team. And there was a team that the coach was like, we're going to shut this team out. Shutting a team out and embarrassing them in that sense, especially when at the high school level, I get, you know, being apprehensive about, you know, that's a dork move.
But if you're a really, really good team and your goal is to, you know, shut out another team,
yeah.
why should you be penalized because you're really good? You know, like this team was so dominant that they had 5, 6, 7 shutouts in a season.
Yeah.
Is that I don't think that's a bad thing.
I mean, in the end, that's what it is.
I mean, coach says, you know, we have pretty good players.
Hey, BYU, I've got an idea.
We played up to our potential.
BYU fans. You go to Twitter and you go, yeah, this is such a dumb bowl game. Well, I got an idea. Don't lose to UAB. Or Utah fans who get on Twitter and do the whole, yeah, we would have beat you guys with Cam Rising. Well, how about figure
Show
out your
– with the folks you have been
yes.
in the moment. Yes.
Play the quarterback. Get your evaluations done better. Yeah. I mean, whatever it is. I mean, so there's always something.
But I just thought that was interesting. All right, Scott, first up here on the old NFL roundup. Now we still have a couple of minutes here. Zach Wilson, Scotty took a page out of your book.
Yes, he did.
It's like he heard us. Now
he must have heard.
Here's the thing.
I wonder if someone heard and maybe said, "Hey, you know what you should do?"
Well, Zach Wilson gifted his Jets offensive lineman JetBlue first class tickets anywhere JetBlue flies. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are two things that I could see the offensive lineman having a problem with this.
Yeah.
The tickets are great. Zach Wilson's uncle is the JetBlue guy.
Right.
So then you kind of go, well, but did you really spend any of that money, or did you get a little help from Uncle Neilman here?
See, I don't think it matters, because it's like, you know what? You have the contact. You have the relationship.
Oh, yeah, you did it.
Then, yeah.
Okay.
People can benefit from that association. I'm not offended by that.
I'm all for that's actually, again, in terms of stuff, like Kyler Murray getting those custom golf bags made for his O-line, awesome.
Yeah.
And if you saw them, they're beautiful. They're amazing. That's putting some thought into it.
Right.
That's not like when I show up at the end of the day with those Costco flowers and go, "Happy birthday, honey."
Right.
That's low effort.
Yeah. Or
you know what I mean?
That round tin of, like, cookies, you know, from Costco or the bad box of chocolates. Or re-gifting a gift.
Oh, so, yeah.
A lot of people disagree with me on this one, but I don't think
my best gift ever to my wife was a gift certificate I gave her to the Men's Warehouse. I go, they got some good stuff here. She was like,
yeah. No wonder she doesn't listen to the show.
Didn't I give this to you?
Yeah.
What? What are you talking about? Yeah. This is to the Men's Warehouse. Oh, I know. I mean, but they have stuff for women there, too, sometimes. I think. don't get your wife a gift certificate to the Men's Warehouse. Okay? Yeah. Speaking from experience.
Yeah. Nothing in that was good, Alex.
No.
That was a bad move right there, buddy.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, Bills and Patriots, by the way. So, you know, it's going to be the coldest game in the history of possibly in the history of NFL football.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot. Look, think about the games at Municipal Stadium there in Cleveland that have been in the sub-zeros, with the wind chill. Green Bay, obviously.
Cincinnati was
the coldest
game against – it was Cincinnati and the San Diego Chargers. That's the coldest game on record in the NFL.
And
AFC championship.
And people don't show up for those games. Like, it's just as impossible to sit in those games. Some people do, but you can get tickets. Remember we were talking about how SoFi parking is about $250
right.
bucks? Tickets to go to the Bills-Pats game right now, you can get in for about $40. $40 for an AFC
wow.
playoff game between two AFC East teams, including Bill Belichick and his Pats.
I think they should have really cheap ticket prices to all Pac-12 games that aren't like Utah.
That feature Arizona?
Yeah. Arizona,
if you're in the bottom half, here's your pricing.
Yeah.
If you're
like,
in the bottom half,
just get people to show up because, man.
Because they already have a hard time with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Get the people in the stands.
Let's take the break. Got a 2-minute drill around the corner here. Stay right here with us. As always, the NFL Roundup brought to you by LHM Used Car Supermarket. Over 1,000 used vehicles in inventory. Shop online, LHMUsedCars.com. We'll come back. 2-minute drill. Put a little bow on all the stories that we wanted
have
to jam in the show.
Have we given away all our tickets?
Yes, we've given away
all the tickets.
Yes.
All right.
Let me see here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll come back. 2-minute drill. Stay with us.
Awesome.
More to go. 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network.
The new Zone lineup is here. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. 2-minute drill around the corner here on the program. Thanks for hanging out with us. We've been at the warehouse today, 1825 South, 300 West, here in Salt Lake City. I do the thing where I go, hey, you need me to pick anything up from, on the way home for dinner? And
your wife probably said maybe a gift certificate.
Maybe a gift certificate
warehouse.
For the Men's Warehouse. Oh, my gosh.
And,
yeah, I did it. It was a bad move. It was early on in the marriage. I learned a lot.
And then she probably said, and throw in a mirror while you're at it.
Because, listen,
from the warehouse.
Here's what my wife is. She is a money genius, okay? She's got her degree in business finance, and she loves to save money here and there. And I was like, look, we'll save some money here. I'll give you this gift certificate that I have from the Men's Warehouse. Yeah. That was me in my 20s, man. I've learned a lot since then, okay?
Oh, congratulations.
I've grown up a lot. I will say, you can't buy any flowers for my wife, though, because she hates them. I mean, no, she doesn't hate them. But she looks at them as a massive waste of money. She can't be the only one. 2-Minute Drill brought to you by the folks at Teton Wealth Group. Is your retirement plan bulletproof? Investments, income, taxes, health care, estate planning, all crucial. Avoid expensive mistakes right now with a complimentary retirement ascent plan from Teton Wealth Group. Go to retireteton.com/radio. That's retireteton.com/radio. Here we go. 2-Minute Drill, Scott. That music in the background, that NFL music, appropriate considering the NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. What do we do in the 2-Minute Drill there, Scott?
Well, late in the football game, you go down the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so you hurry. Our show's the same way. Still got a lot to talk about, not a lot of time, so talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up, finish the show. Go home happy with a trophy because everyone gets a trophy. We get 2 COVID shots, a booster shot, and a whole bunch of desserts.
That's its own booster, by the way. A bunch of dessert? That's its own booster.
Yeah, desserts will immunize you from anything.
Big time.
Desserts are the key to a long and prosperous and healthy life.
Yeah, that's what my doctor
brought to you
says.
By the Dessert Council of America.
There probably is a dessert council. It's just some like lady named Aunt Shirley, just like is the head of that thing. Scott, the UCLA Bruins have kept Chip Kelly. They've extended him 4 more years. What is this guy doing? Who's he paying off? What has Chip Kelly done to get himself extended 4 more years?
The thing that, like, I just kept waiting for at UCLA, boy, we're playing a lot of young guys. Man, we're playing a lot of young guys. And as soon as those young guys really grow up, we are going to have a football team.
Yeah.
The only other saving grace on all of this could potentially be that they did beat USC this year. That may be.
Hung 60 on the Trojans.
That may be the thing. And you know what? I mean,
they got to a bowl game. Look, they had one of their better.
They're improving. This is a program that should be.
This is a guy that said.
This should be one of the top 4 teams in the conference every year.
Every year.
In the Pac-12.
Every year.
This should be.
Well, whatever. I just look at it like 4 more years of the Pac-12 Media Day that we're going to have to get stonewalled by Chip Kelly.
I mean, you play in the Rose Bowl. Like that's your home game. I mean, how cool is playing in the Rose Bowl, you know? And it's just like, I don't know. To me, it just seems like they should be able to garner a lot more interest from fans and from players than they do. It baffles my mind.
Speaking of guys in the Pac-12, Travis Dye, Oregon's running back, he's in the transfer portal now. This is another big name. This guy was a major piece.
End up in Utah.
You think he'll end up at Utah?
I don't know.
RBU now, I guess I've seen it called.
I don't know.
Has anybody ever thought of can we start calling Utah Washington, or I mean running back university?
I'll tell you what, I'd take Travis Dye at Utah.
What do you like about his game? He always seemed a little bit too small, undersized for me.
No, he's a perfect kind of runner for Utah style of game.
Catches the ball really well out of the outfield.
I know. That's out of the outfield.
That's what I like. That's what I like is that he's an outfielder.
That's called a dual sport player. It's a dual threat. Man, that guy can play multiple sports.
My heavens.
He can actually catch the ball in the backcourt, too. I mean,
he hit those 3-pointers pretty good.
It's amazing.
It's awesome. But part of that, would want to get a guy like that?
Yeah, and part of it is because he's from Oregon. And to have one of your top guys say, yeah, I transferred out of Oregon to go to Utah, the whole psychological aspect of it, the optics look good for you. We might have
a decision for Jackson Dart by the end of next week, Scott. Apparently he's looking at Oklahoma, TCU, and Ole Miss.
Yeah, I don't get TCU.
I don't either.
Don't really get Ole Miss.
I get Ole Miss because Lane Kiffin's throwing the heck out of
it. Ole Miss is a middle of the road SEC school.
I mean, they're single digits. Ended up in the single digit ranking.
Yeah, that was
it. All right. Last time of the day, we get to talk to him. He's Tom Curl. He is the owner of the Warehouse, and the Warehouse, of course, 1825 South, 300 West. We love coming here because Tom is always a gracious host.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me,
And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.